ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे, कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा। श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि, स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे। मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सर्वदा त्वया, निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव। भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते, तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो। नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं, प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम्। जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरतस् चातेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान्, तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय। तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषां, धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहगं सत्यं वरं धीमहि। धर्मप्रोज्जितगैरवोत्र वरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां, वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम्। श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम्बावरैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः, शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात्। निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं, पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः। सच्चिदानन्दरूपायां विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा। यं प्रव्रजं जं अनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं, वैवाहनो विरहकातरमजुहावां, दिदन् यत्तरवोऽभिनेदु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि। यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्याल्पदीपमदितितीर्षदां तमोऽन्धम्, संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं, देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्तये कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः, मम वाजि विजृम्भता मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि गावीम्। नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले, श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे, श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः। वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश यासं हरिगतो गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं, गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः। पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं, सौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं, राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोऽयं कुमारका, वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम। मूगं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं, यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। कृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः। सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं, व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम्। അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം. നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസ വിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ സ്തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. യുഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രതജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേനവേലാകുലാ അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പ്രഭീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവേസ്തവേർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദൈർക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So, in this chapter, 18th chapter, Arjuna asked a question first. Arjuna's question was, what's the difference between sannyasam and tyagam? That's how this chapter has begun. So, Krishna answered, kamyanam karmanam nyasam, sannyasam kavayo vidu. And sarvakarma phalatyagam prahutyagam vijakshana. So Krishna started answering that question in a very general way. What the others say about this. Except Krishna is taking the position of the other rishis, what their opinion is about sannyasam and tyagam. That's how Krishna started answering that, isn't it? He started saying, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu. Sannyasam means kamya karmam or fruitive activities to give up completely. Completely to give up fruitive activities. That is sannyasam. That's the opinion of the rishis, he said. Kavayo vidu. Then, sarvakarma bharatyagam prahutyagam vijakshana. Other experts are also saying, vijakshana, who are very experts in these top matters, they are also saying that sarvakarma bharatyagam is the tyagam. That means the results of all activities completely to give it up. Is tyagam, they say. Krishna says like that. This is the opinion of others, not Krishna's opinion, others' opinion. Then Krishna said, tyajyam doshavaditiyage karma prahur manishana yajyadana tava karmam na tyajyam idhi chabare. Another opinion is that tyajyam doshavaditiyage karma prahur manishana, that some yanis are saying that karmam which has got good karmam and bad karmam, they have divided. And the bad kind of karmam should be given up. Bad karma means that karmam which will bind us and which will destroy, which will cause disturbances in others. Disturbances to others or cause miseries for others, those kind of karma should be given up. Good karma must be performed. That's what he says here. Prakarma prahur manishina. Manishina. And then, yajnadana tapakarma na tyajam iti chabare. And others are saying that yajnam danam tapas karma, these things should never be given up. This is also another opinion of different kinds of people, different types of people. After saying that, Krishna said that now, nishayam shrunume tatra, tyage bharata sattama, tyago hi purusha vyakra trivida sampragirtida. He said that the secret of tyagam, Krishna says, I will explain to you what that tyagam, what is the secret behind that. And this tyagam is also in three different levels based on the modes. Satunam, like he spoke about the other things in the three modes. Particularly in Dhanam, Tapasya, everything he has spoken under three modes in the last chapter. Krishna is saying, in a similar way, Tyagam also comes under three different categories. He is saying like that. And then he spoke, started speaking first. What he said was that, Yajna Dhanam Tapakarmam na Tyajya Karyam eva tat, Yajna Dhanam Tapascheva Pavanani Manishinam. He said that one should never give up yajnam, dhanam, tapasya. And this kind of activity should never be given up because those things purifies people. It purifies people, which we have discussed yesterday. How, what does that purification mean, isn't it? Then Krishna decided to give his opinion about it. This is all Krishna's opinion now. This verse also, yajna dhana tapakarmam na tyajyam karyam eva tat. Yajnyo dhanam tapascheiva pavanani manishinam. Remember this, Krishna is coming to the bodily platform and speaking this. He is not speaking from the platform of Atma, platform of the body. He is saying this. And that is why these instructions are meant for everybody. We are all on the bodily platform, so Krishna has come down to that level and speaking from there. Yajnyam dhanam tapasya karmam pavanani manishinam. It purifies people. It purifies everybody. That's the opinion, Krishna says. And Pavanani Manishanam. Then he says that in the sixth verse, he said, Krishna's firm opinion. That is what we were discussing yesterday, isn't it? We have come to that. That he said that the Edanya vidu karmani sangam tetva bhalani cha kartavyani jame partha nishchidam madam uttamam. We'll discuss that verse today. What is Krishna saying there? He's saying there that when a question is asked, the question is from the upadhi mandalam. You know what that means, isn't it? Upadhi mandalam means from the platform of the body, from the platform of the mind, from the platform of intelligence, from the platform of ego. That, these are the upadhis, isn't it? So, when we are in identification with the upadhi, with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, all the questions that comes from us is from the platform of upadhi. That is called upadhi mandalam. So, if you ask a question from upadhi mandalam, the answer also will be from the upadhi mandalam, not from the platform of the soul. Anything that is spoken from the platform of the soul is absolute. Anything that is spoken from the platform of upadhi is based on the time, place, circumstances and things like that. There is a big difference there. What is spoken from the absolute platform is absolute, from the platform of the soul. But when we ask a question from the platform of upadhi, that means mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses and all that, the answer also will be from the upadhi mandalam. It will not be from the absolute platform. That is what Krishna is saying here, that this you are performing yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, don't give up all that. That's all in relationship with upadhi mandalam. It is not in relationship with the Atma. It's all in relationship with the upadhi mandalam. Therefore he says that na tyajyam karyam eva tat. Karyam eva tat, he says there. He says like this, for example, that karyam eva, you are asked to chant the holy name. You are chanting the holy name. A lot of holy name you are chanting every day, for example. Krishna says, continue doing that. Don't give it up. Or Sandhyavandanam, or any other spiritual activity. Whatever you are doing, please continue with that. Because, or some people who are reciting the Vedam, they should continue reciting the Vedam. It should never be given up. It should never be given up. Or if you are performing charity, not to give it up. It should continue giving up. Continue to perform the charity. So, same thing with the austerities also. If you are performing austerities, continue performing austerities. They should never be given up. This is Krishna's opinion. It should never be given up. Karyam evatat. Because these things must be done. There is a subtle reason behind it. That is why he is saying that. Krishna is saying they should never be given up. And if you remember, yesterday we talked about it. Why? What is that subtle reason? Subtle reason is that Krishna said to us that if you give up all these things, that pavanani manishina, that won't happen. These things are for purification. Which one? Yajnam, Dhanam, Tapasya, all these things, and our sadhana, all of them are for the purpose of purification. It simply purifies us. It simply purifies us. Pavanani Manishina. That is the opinion of the intelligence people. So, the reason is that all these things purify us, and if these things don't exist, for example, if you don't do any of these things, Yajnam, Dhanam, Tapasya, Sadhana, all these kind of things, then what will remain in this world is only selfishness. Swarthada. Selfishness will be there. So that is the reason. That selfish nature, to get rid of from inside, to free us from that selfishness from inside, looking after oneself, only one's interest, that too based on the body. To come out of that ajnanam avidya, this yajnam dhanam tapasya are all instituted for that purpose. Instituted for that purpose. For example, Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, we are reading, we are discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And even if the attention is not sufficiently there, suppose if you don't do it, it will never done, it will never be done. Suppose you leave it to people, and tell everybody you can read it at home. Everything is there in the books. You can read it at home. People won't do it. They simply won't do it. Because our nature is that we tend to be pulled by the family life and other social life and things like that. So, so the intention behind it is that at least at that time, whoever can do it, let them do it. Whoever can do it, let them do it. Because the idea behind that is, at least at that time, you won't go and do something else. You see? I don't know whether you understand that the idea behind that is this, that our normal nature of the mind is always seeking pleasure in so many things in this world. Isn't it? So, we are not that disciplined that we'll sit at home and read Srimad Bhagavatam for many hours, or Bhagavad Gita, or absorb in the spiritual life. The tendency is always to go out and enjoy, or go out and looking for some pleasure somewhere in this world. So, at least to arrest that nature from inside, in a subtle way, they bring us back that you will at least for that time period, you won't do anything which is not encouraged. It's not encouraged. The reason is that if you don't do it, the result what you get from that is more than if you do something. This is the interesting thought behind it, isn't it? So for example, if you are engaged in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there will be some benefit from that, little bit effect from there. But higher than that, the more powerful effect is that you have stayed away from doing something else. So, just like you can see, when there is some kirtan going on, it's some good experience to sit and listen to some nice kirtan going on, is it not? And this is, that's an added effect of that, of the kirtanam. But more important than that is, at least at that time, you didn't waste doing something else, which is not allowed or encouraged. Same thing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you are hearing Bhagavatam. While hearing the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastimes, different pastimes in the Bhagavatam, that you will see some effect. You feel some happiness momentarily for some time. That is a positive effect. That's a positive effect. But actually what is happening there, that for some time, at least those few hours, you didn't do any fruitive activity. That is the benefit. You didn't do any fruitive. Kamya karma was not there, because there was no opportunity to do any kamya karma, isn't it? Or swartha karma, selfish reasons. So just like you won't gossip, or you won't watch the television, or you won't go and socialize with others. These things, you are able to come out of it, at least by doing this. So, not doing is more powerful than doing, than a positive action. This is the important principle. Not doing something is more, because that makes you more controlled inside and gives you the ability to look inwards. Otherwise, it will never happen. It is never going to happen. So, positive action has not as much power as giving up a negative action. Positive action does not have as much power as giving up a negative action. That is the important principle there. So, giving up gives you power, strength inside. Giving up gives strength inside, because there is power inside. Action, the result of action is very limited. Action brings only very limited power. So, any good action, if you perform here in this world, it is just like you had one chocolate inside in your mouth. That's all. That's all how much benefit is coming from that. And whatever karmam you may perform here, after performing all other karmam, and the results that is coming from that is very little. Very, very little. Any sadhana or any other spiritual activity, if you perform, the benefit means the effect of that in us is very, very little. This you have to analyze it yourself, and you will understand this. Instead, suppose you had controlled your mind and senses, you were able to do it, and not allow that to wander around in this world, and able to pull back and stay controlled without doing anything, able to be completely silent and completely able to free yourself from the influences of the modes of nature and able to stay peaceful, that is more powerful than all the other sadhana what you do. The sadhana has got only very limited effect. This is what is more important thing to know, that not doing any karmam and able to remain in shanti, that is an unbroken happiness. Unusual happiness that is. So therefore, that is not easy. That's not easy also. Most of the people, it's not very easy to stay in that state. That is why when Krishna said that in that second verse, Kamyanam karmana nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. That's not easy. That's not easy. And you can see Jnana Karma Sannyasam also, when Krishna has spoken earlier, yesterday also we spoke about that. He said that Sarva Karmani Manasa Sanyasya Ityadibi Tattu Vida Sanyasa Prakara Uttaha. So many things. Naiva Kinjal Karomi in the 5th chapter, 8th verse, 5th chapter, 13th verse. That is not possible for ordinary people, which what we discussed in the 5th chapter yesterday. There were 2-3 verses from 5.8 to 5.13, all of them. That's all sannyasam it is. Sannyasam. That means withdrawing from karmam and able to stay in a state where you have complete shanti inside but not affected by the external things. That's a very higher position. Why? Because karmam is an addiction. Everybody. It's an addiction it is. This karmam is a addiction. So, because of this addiction of karmam, there is a remedy for that, and that remedy is also to use that karmam itself as a remedy and change its way of operating, that karmam. That is why this word coming from, which one? Karpavanani Manishina. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? See that? In the fifth verse, yes. Yajna dhanam tapascheiva pavanani manishinam. He says, if you do, it is based on this principle. The principle is this. People are finding it very difficult to stay away from karma. Karma is an addiction in the world. Everybody has got this strong urge inside, because karma vasana is inside. Svabhava means inside, prakriti inside. That will push us to act. Krishna told Arjuna also, isn't it? I don't have to say all this Bhagavad Gita to you, he said. You will go and fight after a while. You will get up. You will take your bow and arrow and you will go start fighting there. Why? Because inside you, I know what is inside you, he says to Arjuna. So a personality like Arjuna has this so strong karma vasana inside. What to talk about ordinary people like us? He has such a strong karma vasana inside. So Krishna says to Arjuna, without me saying, you are going to fight this. Whether I say Bhagavad Gita, speak to you or not, it's going to happen. So Krishna's point is that vasana inside is so powerful, Arjuna is going to fight. Similarly, we all have our vasana inside. And that vasana, because of that vasana, Krishna is saying there, this addiction of karma is there. You will act in a natural way, one way or the other. You will go and do something in this world. But because the karma vasana is there, to get rid of that karma vasana, utilize the karma in such a way that it will purify us. That process is Krishna is talking about. That is why he is saying, don't give up yajnam dhanam tapasya, for that reason. Because it will purify us. Therefore, don't give up yajnam dhanam tapasya. This is the reason. You see? You must understand that. Because yajnam dhanam tapasya, why do we perform otherwise? Not for others' benefit, our own benefit, to get rid of this vasana from inside. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, if you look at there, so rishis know this subtle principle very well, the subtlety of that. So therefore saying that Srimad Bhagavatam is going on, sit and listen to it, or somewhere Kirtanam is going on, sit and listen to it, and they have given us Srimad Bhagavatam and several other, Ramayana, Mahabharatam, so many other Vedic literature, isn't it? And at least while reading those verses in the Bhagavatam, you will sit and listen to it, is it not? You will sit and listen to it. So, even the person who is reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, or those who are listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, even if their Shraddha is not very good, even if their Shraddha is not very good, still, Pavanani Manishina. That's Krishna's point. Even if the person who is speaking, his attention is not there, proper attention, or Shraddha is not there, or those who are listening, even their Shraddha is also not there, still Krishna says, it must be done. Why? Pavanani Manishina. It will purify. Pavanani Manishina. So, similarly, suppose you are performing charity, and while performing charity, there is various sangalpam inside of the person who is performing the charity. Sometimes there is a little selfish interest, or it's not always very pure intentions. Well, charity is given. Krishna says, it must be still given. It must be still given. Because a person has come starving, he wants food, and if you are able to give prasadam to him, you may be thinking that, oh, by giving this as a pious activity, I may get some benefit from that. All these thoughts may come through in the mind. Krishna's point is, doesn't matter, give it still. Still give it, he says. So, only thing is the benefit, because you have some desires inside, the result that is coming from that is also on a very lower nature. Also on a very lower level, low category that is. But, doesn't matter. Krishna says, continue doing that. What will happen is, never give up karma, Krishna says. Don't give up karma. Look for ways how to purify the karma. That is Krishna's recommendations. Don't give up karma. Find ways and means how to purify the karma. How to purify the karma. Because therefore he says, yajnam dhanam tapak karmam pavanani manishina. It always purifies people. See, in every karmam, which means yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, karmam, in all these things, the sangalpam of the person is more important. What is going through his mind while performing these things? When they are performed, If the sankalpam is very pure inside, then it will purify the person to a very high degree. But if he has a lot of desires, and if he is performing yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, karmam, he will get some results from that, but he will get purified in due course. That is what Krishna says. We will see the examples of that in the Bhagavatam. So for example, people say to chant the holy name. You say to people to chant the holy name, they will tell you that I tried very hard. Sometimes you can see they try very hard to focus while chanting the holy name, to put all their attention and shraddha in chanting. But the mind is so powerful that after a minute, before you could think of it, it is thrown off the rail. It's gone away somewhere else. Mind is gone away, isn't it? So then you feel frustrated yourself after chanting. Suppose you started chanting, and some people start with one round, and then they start with four rounds, and then they go to 16 rounds, like that, isn't it? So people, a new person who started chanting Hare Krishna, he starts chanting. First day he chanted one round, and he chanted that one round with a lot of seriousness. Second day, the modes of nature has changed inside. So he didn't get the same shraddha what he had the first day. So second day he struggled a little bit. Third day, he has got further changed his modes. So he has lost all the shraddha in there. So third or fourth day, he started thinking, what's the point in chanting like this? I'm going to give it up. It's not working for me, they'll say like that. It's not working for me. And then what happens is that suppose you have joined the temple, you may chant more because there are others chanting. There's a japa time fixed. So you will sit there and you will chant a certain number of rounds, 16 rounds or 8 rounds or whatever that you could. And you will continue like that. If you are inside the temple, you will chant for a little longer time. And you will chant for 1 or 2 years or few years. But then there are, after many years, people have stopped chanting also, that they start doing other things. So what an important point here is that they will ask this question, what's the point in chanting like this? I'm not able to focus on the holy name. I'm not getting my shraddha there. Mind is wandering around. What's the point in chanting like that? Mind is not listening. The mind is not obliging. It's not agreeing with us, isn't it? So that means the mind has become chanchalam. Krishna said, Arjuna said that, isn't it? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi bhalaval dridam, he says. So, you will start chanting still, but mind is chanchalam, and mind is thinking about so many things, then you just want to chant and finish it, the 16 rounds, and feel that I have done my bit, what I have committed, I have done that. And it will go on like this for a few years in that way. So, what we have to understand, what Krishna's advice is, what you have to do is not to give up chanting, but able to give up this movement of the mind. That's where correction is required. The solution, most of the people, what they do, when their mind starts getting disturbed, they give up chanting. Krishna says, don't do that. Continue chanting. What you have to give up is this. You may succeed in that to some extent, but not 100%. That's not going to happen. As much as possible, this wavering mind must stop its movement. That's what he's saying here. Because the reason is that you have at least started doing something in a limited way. In a limited way. And there is a lot of faults in that, what we are doing there. So the faults you have to correct, not give up the process. The faults you have to correct, not to give up the process. Because that is the same principle here. Yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, all these things, and however imperfect it may be, what we are doing, still Krishna is saying here, not to be given up. You know that? This is important advice from Krishna to us. There may be a lot of defects in what we are doing in spiritual life. Many, many faults. Because we are not up to that standard, what? Perfection. A lot of imperfections in our spiritual life. What Krishna is saying to us is, so be it, but don't stop it. Continue doing it. Because they should never be given up. If you, the reason for that, if you give up this one, what will happen? You will completely fall into Maya. Totally you will give up everything and there will be no spiritual activity in life. This is what will happen. That is the warning. That is what Krishna is saying here. Krishna has spoken it in a very nice way. If you look into the same chapter, 48th verse, what does Krishna say? Look at that. Why you should not give up? Krishna says the reason for that is that 48th verse. Sahajam karma kaunteyam sadosham api natyajet sarvarambahi doshena dume agnavivavrata. Every endeavor is covered by some fault. Just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. And this applies to sadhana as well, not only to work. This is the Krishna's advice to us. Everything what we do is full of faults in there. Faults are there in everything what we do. It gives us, just as fire is covered by the smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. Full of fault. So, reason is, if you give up this also, even if it is not perfect, our sadhana is not perfect, once you give up that also, everything is finished then. Then you are not at all in spiritual life. You are completely left it then. Then, that is why it will become very difficult then to come back to some spiritual activity again. To get some sadhana in one's life is very hard. You know, it is very hard to get a person fixed in sadhana, in spiritual life. And it is very easy to lose it and go away, get frustrated and disappointed and go away from that. But to come back to that again is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Therefore, Krishna is saying to us that hold on to that. Whatever you are doing, whatever sadhana you are doing in life, you should do that. Even if there is imperfection, you may find this, that after many years of chanting, still the mind is not listening. Mind will still be wavering and you will be dragging this way, that way. Or something will happen in life and you may, for some days or weeks, you may have completely affected by that. Either illness or some other problems in life, things like that. But Krishna is saying, in spite of all that, you should not give it up. You should not give it up. And that is why Krishna is saying this. All karma can only start with full of faults and mistakes. It is not going to happen one day one everything is going to be perfect. It's never going to be like that. And so people will say, for example, people who come for Salsangam or have hearing Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, when they come first time, they will say, I can't understand anything what is being spoken. Sometimes you will see some odd people, they'll drop in and they will sit for a day. And afterwards, they couldn't figure out what's being spoken. And then they won't see you again. You won't see them again. Because they find it very, very difficult. They are saying that we can't understand anything what is being discussed. He's saying Jiva, Brahmam, Maya, Karmam, all these kind of things, is making no sense to them. Because they come from the world and they are not ready, they don't have that patience also. And all that they know is to how to understand with the mind everything. So while in that state, when they listen to something, if it's not making any sense, then they will go. Is it not? So they will go. So, but you can see yourself that initially, when you are in the Salsangam also, you cannot understand everything. But after listening for many months, many years, what happens? You change your understanding, is it not? You start, little by little, you start getting a feel for it. Everybody is like that. And at that point, you start realizing that there is some substance in everything. It's not just hollow. that something is spoken, mayama karmam brahmam jiva, all these things are not just words. It means something to us in our own life, isn't it? It makes us a little bit more conscious that what was actually missing was my shraddha there. So once you start putting shraddha into it, and you started absorbing it little by little, after many months or years, you started realizing that there is some truth in what Krishna has spoken. That understanding will come in due course. So, therefore, all our anushtanam also, chanting the holy name, everything is like that. This is why in yoga system, any yoga process if you take, this steadiness is important. If there is no steadiness, no yoga system will work. Whether it is jnana yogam, whether it is bhakti yogam, karma yogam, ashtanga yogam, no yoga system will work if a person is not steady in life. If you remember, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram says this. Patanjali says here, Dirgha kalam nairandarya salkara sevito drida bhumihi. It's one of the sutrams there. Dirgha kalam, for a long period of time, nairandaryam. Nairandaryam means uninterruptedly, continuously, nirandaram, nairandaryam. Salkara sevido drida bhumihi. If you practice it, you will go and get established in that state of receptive state. Or shravanam will happen properly. Shravanam won't happen on day one. It takes time to get through that barriers in the mind. Mind is first one, causes the problem. So once the mind withdraws, and then if you keep on hearing over a period of time, you will start seeing, as soon as you sit in the satsangam, your mind goes away, leaving you alone. And that's the time shravanam becomes much more effective. Shravanam becomes very effective. So all these things are very, very subtle things, and it happens in without our knowledge. This happens in us. Without our knowledge, this happens. If you observe people who are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for a long period of time and regularly from proper sources, you will notice that they have their own sadhana, their own settled mind inside. They know that at that such and such a time, the mind will not disturb them. They will naturally go into Bhagavatam mood, and mind will get absorbed in that way. So therefore Krishna is saying the same, what Patanjali is saying in this Yoga Sutram, the same thing Krishna is saying to us also. Yajnam, Dhanam, Tapasya, all these things are purifying us without our knowledge. Pavanani Manishinam. So if you keep on doing that, our own weaknesses inside, these are weaknesses that we are not able to give our attention to anything. Those weaknesses will on its own disappear from within, and it will not become any more an effort to capture the things. It's just a question of time. If given time, this will happen. Just like I can tell you this same thing in another way. See, for example, we went to school, didn't we? Started with, I don't know whether you had this kindergarten and all that, at least first standard, second standard, like that, gone on and on and on. 10, 12, 14, 15 years we spent at the school. Then a few years at the college, and this training, that training. 15, 16 years or 17 years we have spent in all these things. So if you add up all those years, think about that. Totally waste of time. Is it not? It is a complete waste of time. Why? Because think about what all you have studied at the school and college now. How much is of any use to you today? Whatever, all that garbage what you have taken from the books, all of them was not at all any useful purpose. It didn't serve any useful purpose. So many things you have studied. And practically you can say history, geography, and many things like that. We have studied. What is the use now of all that? Similarly, we studied First World War, Second World War, Akbar, Aurangzeb. All these people were fighting each other, killing each other, all these things. Whether they were born or they died, it didn't happen now, it happened few thousand years ago. They were born, they're dead and gone. How does it matter to me today? What effect has it got on me? Whether he is born or whether he is dead, what does it matter? Isn't it? We studied all that very seriously. We studied that they were fighting wars, each other. All that we have studied. We say they fought the war, then we got all the details of the World War I, World War II, which country joined which side, all sorts of details they study in the war, is it not? So all this information, we have been grabbing it for the best part of our life, going to school and college, all these things, isn't it? So if you look at it today, most of that time was just a waste of time. Just a waste of time. Nothing was gained from that. Studying all that history, all that geography, and so many other things also. Whatever that has happened, when you look at it from the point of view, from spiritual life, that was all a waste of time. Waste of time. Why? Because that vidya, Brahma vidya, what is actually useful for us in this life and for future, that we didn't have the time for that. The right age was that time when we went to school and college. That was the right time to practice Brahma vidya. But instead of doing that, went and did all other useless activities, isn't it? So, point is that this Brahma vidya, which is of a much more importance for us, because aparavidya, avidya. What you have done is, you have pumped this avidya inside, year after year after year. And it has become such a stage now, Brahmavidya is not working for us. It's not easily happening in us. So, aparavidya, avidya. This aparavidya we have cultivated so long, and it has become a negative factor in us. In developing the Brahmavidya, Paravidya or Brahmavidya. So therefore it says there that at least to show some patience. When you had given so many years for studying this Paravidya, could you not show some patience while doing sadhana? This is the question Krishna is raising in front of us. If you can waste 15, 20 years of your life in the best part of your life for developing avidya or Paravidya, at least could you not give some time every day to engage in spiritual life, in developing paravidya, and rather than giving it up so easily, saying that, oh, it's not working, I'm not able to. So what does it indicate? Indicates our avidya inside is so strong. That is why it is like that. That is Krishna's point here. So if it is from that point, but Krishna is saying to us, it is from that principle that Krishna is saying to us, yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, they should never be given up. That should become a part of the life under any circumstances. All these three things must be done. Krishna is saying this to us. Because that was the issue here now. When we talk about sannyasam and tyagam, when Arjuna asked that question, but one category, they are not in that group, which is the jnanis. They have realized the truth. They don't require all these things. They are in such a state that Krishna mentions there, kamyanam, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu. That kavayo kavi is their sannyasam state. They don't have kamya karma. But we have kamya karma in our life. We have kamya karma in us. So because we have kamya karma in us, the only way to escape from this kamya karma, Krishna says, you have to purify to come to that state. How is that purification possible? Yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, karma. Now, if you do these things, yajna, dhanam, tapasya, karma, it may be imperfect. Doesn't matter, Krishna says. Continue doing it because it will purify in course of time. It may take time, but it will purify. This is the point Krishna is the subtle point Krishna is making in these verses. This is the point he wants to get across to us. Never to give up any sadhana, spiritual sadhana, whatever we are doing, never to give it up. In fact, if you get steadiness in the sadhana, chanting a certain number of rounds every day, under any circumstances, one should do that. One should do that. It should not be given up. Thinking that, oh, I'm not making a success, I am not advancing spiritually and this is not working for me. People easily get frustrated and they give everything, throw away everything and go away. That should not happen, Krishna is saying. Because the reason for that is, he is saying that yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, karmam, all these things actually purifies a person. Whereas 18, 20 years in the school and college, it never purified us. All it has done to us was, it has pumped this avidya in very high dosage into this inside. And that has become a real problem to get rid of from inside. Useless things, isn't it? Which is nothing but avidya. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita's commentary, Acharya Swamiji mentions this. Aparavidya, avidya. It is avidya, it is. We paid money for that to get this avidya. And gave the time and energy in life for this purpose. And when you get old and when you look back into life, you feel what a waste of time the whole thing was. Completely frustrating, and you leave this world in this state, in this, with all this avidya, you can leave this world. So these three things, yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, all these things, Krishna is saying, human society must perform that, because yajnam means anything if you do collectively, it is a yajnam. It is a yajnam. Dhanam is, it is possible both. Individually you can do dhanam, charity, or collectively also you can perform charity. But tapasya is individual. The three things. Yajnam is done collectively. Dhanam can be done individually or collectively. Tapasya is performed individually. The three are three different ways it is performed. And all these things Krishna has discussed in the last chapter. If you remember that, in the divisions of faith, Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam, the last chapter, Krishna spoke about that. There he told about tapasya, vajigam, manasigam, and sharirigam, the three things, based on the body, based on the mind, and based on the power of speech. And finally, Krishna said in the last chapter, as far as tapasya is concerned, penances or austerities are concerned, the highest austerity is, he mentions that, jnana tapasya. That is the highest one. Bahavo jnana tapasya pudam albhavam agada. There he says there, remember. That vidaraga bhayakrodam manmayamam upashrida. Bahavo jnana tapasya pudam albhavam agada. Fourth chapter, 10th verse. You will see that. Krishna says, so much different kinds of tapasya he has spoken, austerities. Sharirigam, manasigam, vajigam. Based on the body, based on the mind, based on the speech. After saying everything, Krishna says, the highest kind of tapasya, austerity is jnana tapasya. Jnana tapasya. What is that jnana tapasya? Jnana tapasya is vidaraga bhaya krodha manmayamam upashrida. Bahavo jnana tapasa pudam albhavam agada. That is the highest thing Krishna says there. So there also, can you see that Krishna has included that pudam manmayamam upashrida. Any tapasya when you perform, it should be in depending on Krishna. That is the important part. Depending on Krishna and engaging in austerities. Not independently doing with the ego. Ego does things on its own, isn't it? What does ego does? Ego thinks everything is independent. I have done it, I am doing it, and I'll do something and Krishna has to appreciate it. That is ego. I'll do something and Krishna should recognize it and he should reward me because I've done this. That is ego-based. That should not happen in any sadhana. Pure sadhana is manmayamam upashrida. Always dependent on Krishna and doing the sadhana. Remember, Krishna keep mentioning this in many, many places in the Bhagavad Gita. You will always notice this. He mentions that in the 7th chapter also, isn't it? Yogam yunjan madashraya. So first verse. Mayasakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. There also he says, madashraya. Depend on me and do the sadhana. Do practice the yoga system. Here also he is saying that Vida Raga Bhaya Krodham. Freedom from Ragam and Raga Bhaya Krodham. Fear, attachment, anger and all these things. But at the same time, freedom from that and be dependent on me. Manmayama Ubashuda. And if you execute Jnana Tapasa in that way, Bhavo Jnana Tapasa, Pudam Albhava Magada, you will get purified and you will come to my nature, spiritual nature. Manbhava means spiritual nature. Adhyalpam will happen to us. So, through that Jnana Tapasa, what will happen is absolute purity. That is a Jnana Tapasa. Jnana Tapasa means absolute purity. So, or self-realization. All that is tapasya. So the more we become spiritual, how do you know this is working? The way to know this is, when all these things are continued in life, sadhana for a while, in an unknown level, a discipline, a divine discipline will develop within, in the person. A divine nature. It's a divine discipline, they call it. Divine discipline means, it's not a discipline that is imposed like in the army or in the police or anywhere, where you are externally, you are forced to do it. It's not like that. But if this yajnam, danam, tapasya, karmam all are performed in the way, Krishna says, over a period of time, it will build up inside a certain kind of discipline. And that discipline is divine, because it comes from the soul. It comes from the soul. Due to performing this yajnam, danam, tapasya and other things. That's the after effect of that. So, Krishna is saying here, what we understand, that this discipline what will come, when we are talking about these things, Krishna is also pointing out to us that people have this understanding that, okay, I have taken over to spiritual life. And then therefore, people have this understanding that, oh, I don't have to do any more any work, and I'm not particular about doing anything on time, and become very relaxed about everything. Very relaxed about everything. Some people, when they take to spiritual life, this happens, that they live a life of live not in a very disciplined manner, but then they feel very carefree, wandering around everywhere, moving around all over the place, and eating at different times, sleeping at different times, and according to their particular mood, they will do things. In a relaxed way, they become like that. That Krishna says it should not happen. Because the more one fixed up in spiritual life, he becomes more steady in everything. He becomes steady in everything. Jnananishtha, that's what it is called. So, yajnam, all these things, Krishna says, the more you are fixed up in this jnananishtha, according to that, your yajnam, danam, tapasya, karmam, everything will become very stabilized, very stable in doing those things. You won't have any doubts about it. Should I do this or should I not do that? This kind of doubts will go away from inside. Why? Because inside that discipline has developed. Because you have become spiritual, person has become spiritual, therefore all the decision making has become a lot easier for him. He doesn't have to think every day, whether I should do this today, I should chant, or should I read Bhagavatam, or should I go for a satsangam, should I go to the temple, or should I do any other spiritual activity? All those doubts will go from inside, and you will become much more stable and very settled in everything. And that is due to this divine discipline that builds up. And in order that to happen, Krishna is saying, yajnam, danam, tapasya, karmam should never be given up. Even there is imperfection, it should be performed. And this is the path Krishna is opening to us. There's a lot of subtle things involved in this. If you are able to give time and think through it, you will understand it better. Why Krishna is saying all these things. So, therefore, Yajnam danam tavasa karmam should never be given up. That is the final conclusion from there. It should be performed. It should be performed. After saying that, Krishna says to us how it should be performed. That's the next verse. Verse is six, isn't it? एतान्यपितु कर्माणि संगम त्यक्त्वा फलानि च कर्तव्यानि किमे पार्थ निश्चितं मदमुत्तमम् एतान्यपितु कर्माणि संगम त्यक्त्वा फलानि च कर्तव्यानि किमे पार्थ Nishchidam madam uttamam. So, slowly Krishna is taking up into a little bit higher level. We started from the lowest level. First of all, Arjuna's question was, what is the difference between Tyagam and Sannyasam? Instead of answering directly that question, Krishna said, some people have this opinion, some people have this opinion. A few opinions Krishna has spoken of different people, isn't it? After that, Krishna said, because some people have said, yajnam danam tapasya karmam should be given up, some opinion was there, Krishna said they should not be given up. That is how Krishna starts answering at that point. He says they should not be given up. The reason for that is, he is saying they purify us, all of them. Yajnam danam tapasya karmam, they purify us, so it should not be given up. That is the first verdict. How it purifies us, that is what we have spoken. The reason is that if you do not do these things, you will completely lose your spiritual instinct inside. The little bit of spirituality, whatever we may have inside, even that will disappear and will completely fall into Maya. Completely fall into Maya. Maya means that there will not be any understanding of the soul inside. So therefore, Krishna's suggestion is that even there is imperfection in that, continue, we should not give it up. Because by doing that, at least at that time, you are not engaging in activities which are detrimental to spiritual life. Like various activities in this world, materialistic activities. So, because you are refraining from materialistic activities in those times, that itself creates some spiritual strength inside a person. And that will motivate him, inspire him, to continue, and over a period of time, Krishna says, if you are occupied with yajnam, danam, tapasya, karmam, all these things, including all the sadhana, everything, if it is done even with imperfections, it will purify a person. Reason being, he has refrained from doing other things, which are not allowed. After saying all that, Krishna is saying, Krishna told us also, that yajnam danam tapasya, how it is performed, he has discussed in the last chapter. But as far as tapasya is concerned, Krishna says that the highest tapasya is jnana tapasya, which we have discussed in the fourth chapter. Vidaraga bhayakrodam manmayama upashyada. When does it become jnana tapasya? It becomes jnana tapasya when you are dependent on Krishna and executing the tapasya. Remember this in the Bhagavad Gita. In several places, Krishna is pointing out this to us. Maya asakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. That is important thing. Madashraya. That is important thing in that verse. Madashraya. Dependence on Krishna and engaging in the spiritual life. Similarly, in this fourth chapter, Krishna is saying, Vida raga bhaya krodham manmaya mam uvashridaha. Dependence on Krishna and engaging in jnana tapasya. Bahavo jnana tapasya pudam albhavam agada. They got purified and came back to me. In the seventh chapter, Krishna is saying, Jara marana mokshaya mama ashrute yadandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma chagilam. You will see that in the seventh chapter. Those who wants to escape from this misery of material life, Jara marana mokshaya, one who wants to free oneself from the cycle of birth and death, mama ashrute yadandiye, he should put his endeavor in spiritual life depending on me, Krishna is saying. Depending on me, he should put his endeavor in spiritual life. Mama ashrite yadandi te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma chagilam. Then his spiritual life will success. So what Krishna is pointing out is that even sadhana, being dependent on Krishna, and if one executes that sadhana also will eventually purify him. Because when we say yajnam dhanam tapasya, generally it is referring to all the sadhana is included in that. Like chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, all these are tapasya. It comes under tapasya category. If you remember, because yajnam dhanam tapasya is our life. As far as Krishna is concerned, life is nothing but yajnam dhanam tapasya. Spiritual sadhana like chanting the holy name, studying Bhagavatam, Salsangam, this all fall into the category of tapasya. And tapasya is one thing where one has to make sure that it should become jnana tapasya. It should not become purely to the extent of fasting, and that is necessary, that is also helpful, no doubt. But best of all the tapasya is yajna tapasya. Krishna is saying that. So you must understand, yajna dhanam tapasya is the life. That is what Krishna defined life as, yajna dhanam tapasya. Life should be based on these three, yajna dhanam tapasya. Sadhana and other things are falling within that, yajna dhanam tapasya. So after accepting all that, Krishna is saying like this, that karma should not be given up. Because if you give up karma, it will not work. Because of this unfortunate situation of the karma vasana inside. That is why Krishna is saying like that. He told us there that if you give it up, it will not work. And just as a logic to justify that so many years in life we have wasted, which is of absolutely, not only it was useful to us, it was detrimental to our spiritual life. Is it not? Because of all this rubbish education, we have become more atheistic. We have become, our faith has become completely smashed by that education. And we have fallen more into the grip of the mind and intelligence. This is all the after effect of that. A simple person in a simple village living there, he doesn't have the same problem like what we have got in spiritual life. He doesn't have that. He is able to wake up in the morning. He is able to go and bathe in the tank. He is able to go to the temple. No, he is not having any worries about that. No doubts in his mind. For us, somebody has to wake us up and motivate us, inspire us. Only then we can do it. Why? Aparavidya, avidya. That avidya has gone inside so much. So the point is that so many years we wasted time for doing developing this avidya inside. So why do we get so restless when we come to spiritual life and we are expecting results straight away? That is the question, is it not? Therefore, Krishna is saying that why give up? Never give up. Krishna is saying to us, don't give up. Yajnam dhanam tapasya is life. In that, live your life in this world and see, even if there is imperfection, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, even if there is imperfection. That imperfection will go in due course of time and will come to perfection. So after all saying that, Krishna said karmam should never be given up. If you give up karmam, that's a problem. And therefore how karmam should be performed, that is this verse what we have just read. Krishna is saying there that Evanyabidu karmani sangam tektva bhalani cha kartavyani dime partha nischidam adam uttamam. This is a decision from the judge. All the other previous verses were the advocates putting their case. This is the judge speaking now. You know, the others were opinion of the advocates. Second, third, fourth, all those verses. These last words Krishna said, they should not be given up. The judgment on that, it should not be given up. So, nischidam madam uttamam, he is saying there. Nischidam madam uttamam. Only thing is, Krishna says, as far as the answer is, that edani abhidu karmani yajnyan dhanam tapamsi pavanani uktani sangam asaktim teshu tektva bhalani cha tesham tektva parityajya kartavyani idi anushteyani idi me mama nischidam madam uttamam. Krishna is saying here that yajnam dhanam tapasya, all these three things, they are also karmam. Yandanam tamasi is also karmam. But they should be purified. How can it be purified? By not being attached to it. Sangam tektva bhalanicha. Krishna uses the word there. Sangam tektva bhalanicha. It should be done without any attachment. Without any attachment. If it is done like that, Krishna says they will purify. They will purify. Suppose you have done with attachment. Then what's the answer? Answer is, it may not purify to the same extent if it is done without attachment. But if even if you have done with attachment something, because everything, we are not perfect in any of these things, isn't it? Even if you have done with this attachment, Krishna says, at one stage, it will purify slowly, but at one stage, I will get inside that person and purify him. Everything. Everything will be purified. Even if you have done it with attachment. So, nishchayam shrunume tatra iti padignyaya pavanatvam cha hetum uktva etani abhi karmani kartavyani iti eda nishchitam madam iti pradignyot upasamharam evana apurvartham vachanam etani abhi iti prakriti sannikrishtartha upapathe. So, Krishna has spoken before that all these three things are very important. Which one? Yajnam, Danam, Tapas. And he is not say repeating this again to give a new twist or new meaning to it. Once again, he is stressing that point. Yajnam, Danam, Tapas, Karmam, Bhavanani, Manishina. It purifies a person, so it should not be given up. It should not be given up. Now, this you have to remember is spoken due to what? This is all because of karma, is it not? We have the problem with karma. Karma is a disease. Karma is a rogam it is. And we are finding it difficult to come out of it, is it not? That's our problem. So karma vasana is strongly inside. We are not unable to come out of it. So therefore, when Krishna spoke about sarva karma bhalatyagam prahutyagam vichakshana in the second verse, most of the people belong to that category. That is why karma yogam is there, and karma yogam includes these two, is it not? Karma yogam is what? Karmanye vadhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma balahe durbhur ma de sangostu akarmani. There also Krishna pointed out the same thing, what Krishna is saying here. Sangam tektva bhalanicha, he says here. What did he say in the second chapter when he talked about karma yogam? He said that karmanye va na adhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana. You have got the authority to do the karma. You got the right to do the karma, but you have no right to expect the results. Ma bhaleshu kadachana. Then what did he say? Ma karma balahe durbhor. You are not the cause of the results of the karma of what you have done. That's not the cause of your result. Results and the karma are not connected. So many times Krishna said that. Ma karma balahe durbhor. Ma de sangostu akarmani. That you should not have sangam with the karma. And you should also not have akarmatvam. Akarmatvam, not engaging in karma. That's also wrong. Karma must be done. He explained that in the second chapter. Again, same thing. Krishna is bringing that back in the 18th chapter. Saying to us, sangam tektva bhalanicha. That is the way. Edani abhidu karmani sangam tektva bhalanicha. Kartavyani idime partha nishchidam adam uttamam. Karma must be performed. Krishna is saying like that. So here something important, that this karmam, when it is being performed, sa sangasya bhalarthinaha bandha hedavaha edani abhi karmani mumukshoho kartavyani idi abhishabdasya artaha nadu anyani karmani abheksha edani abhi idi uchale. So karmam is performed and the results are there coming from that karma. Suppose you are having anxiety about it, how the results will be. Anxiety will be there if you are very attached to the results, is it not? If you are attached to the results, you will be concerned about it. And in that case, it will create bondage. It will, because of the attachment to the results. If it is like that, then the solution for that, Krishna is saying, normal life is like that, is it not? We perform karma. We want the results to come according to our desires. The results must happen. And we are worried about the results. Nobody can say that I am not concerned about my results. But here, Krishna's point is, suppose you have intense desire for liberation. Intense desire for liberation. If it is like that, then that expectation for the results should not be there. Normal life, people are engaged in karma and they are expecting the results. If they don't get the results, they get disappointed or frustrated about it, is it not? But here now, Krishna is saying, because he is looking at people who have come to spiritual life, which means that those who want to escape from here, not those who want to build their empire here, those who want to escape from here, they are the ones who are looking for liberation, freedom from this body, freedom from the mind, once for all. If it is like that, Krishna is saying, the right thing to do is that when you are engaging in karma, don't develop any attachment to the result. That's the solution for that. That's what Krishna is saying here. That you have to be clear. That ordinary people means when you are not in spiritual life, it's natural that when they are engaged in karma, they'll expect the results to come. And they will be attached to the result very strongly, is it not? Attached to the result, what's coming from that? That attachment to the result is in a normal way, it's there in the world. But if you have come to spiritual life, and if your goal of life is liberation and freedom from this, because this chapter is about moksha, liberation, isn't it? Sannyasam. Here, Krishna says, if you want this result to come, moksha or sannyasam to happen in life, then sangam tektva bhalani cha. Immediately, first thing you have to give up is attachment to the results of the karma. Only in that case it will help. It will help. So after saying this, Krishna is saying here, there's a lot of questions and answers about this in these verses. What they call as purvavaksham. Purvavaksham means that one person asking in particular way, explanation to that, answering that. Ajari Swamiji is explaining that the answer, pages after pages about it. That's a lot to understand the intricacies of karma. Karma is such a powerful thing in life. If you don't give any attention to it, then you won't know anything. You are just acting in darkness without knowing the complexity of the whole problem. If Krishna had to spend 6-7 chapters in the Bhagavad Gita talking about karma, there must be some meaning to it, isn't it? Otherwise he wouldn't have given that much importance to it. Anyway, here, Krishna is saying here, yajnam danam tapas, all these things must be done, Arjuna. He says to Arjuna, how should be done? Sangam tektva bhalanija. It should be done without any attachment to the results. Attachment to the results. In other words, while performing the karma, you have to throw away attachment from that. From the results. So, that means sangam. Sangam means what? This inside that connection with the work. Is it not? You have some feeling, some strong connection inside. That is that sangam. That relationship with the work. So that should be thrown away and results also should be thrown away. In that state, one has to execute this karma. So, results should not be there, attachment to the karma also should not be there. That means kartavyam, kartatvam, bhoktratvam. Karma yogam it is. Basically it is karma yogam. Kartrutvam, bhoktratvam must go. So, Krishna is saying that kartavya nidhime partha. That means you have to do it knowing well that I am in the process of spiritual life. I just want to free myself from this bondage in this world. So it is my duty to do my karma in this way. Knowing that way, you have to do this karma. That is what he is saying there. Kartavyani dime partha. As though it is my kartavyam. Kartavya means what? Duty. Duty. Knowing well that it is my duty, I will do the karma. Not that I am attached to the karma. Taking it as a duty and doing it. And taking it as a duty, not to expect the results, and in that way, not accepting any results, interested in the results either. So, how will you, this is Krishna's opinion, he says to Arjuna, how do we give up this Sangam and Bhalam? Kartrutam and Bhoktrutam, how can it be given up? That is the question, isn't it? And that is what Krishna is going to talk about from now. See, all the subtle side of karma is coming back again. What we have discussed in the early chapters, in the first six chapters about karma, the subtleties of that karma, is Krishna is bringing back again. And he says to us, how would you give up this kartrutva bhoktrutva? That is the first question. We all have that question, isn't it? How do I give up? I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer. It's not so easy to give it up. So Krishna is saying there that if really there is I am the doer, if you are actually the doer, it is not possible to throw it away. That's the first thing. If I am so sure that I am the doer, if it is the truth that I am the doer, then it will not be possible to give it up. That's the first thing to understand. If I am so sure that I am the doer, and if it is the truth that I am the doer, then it is not possible to change it. That's the first thing to accept. And this is come from Maya. Which one? That I am the doer. It is not real. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita how Krishna says, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyate. This kartaham, I am the doer, has come from ahankaram. My false ego is telling me that I am the doer. Even though all the karma is performed by prakriti, means Maya. Maya is doing all the karma and I am thinking I am doing it. Why? Because of ahankaram inside. Ahankara vimodhalma kartaham iti manyate. The same words comes in the Kapilopadesham, Kapila Maharshi's teachings. Exactly the same words comes there. Kartasmi nibhadyate, it says there. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi has not changed anything. Whatever he has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, it is there in the Bhagavatam also. So, this is the first principle. First principle is, if I am actually the doer, if that is the truth, then it cannot be changed. Second thing, I am not the doer, Prakriti is doing it, my false ego is taking the ownership. Yes? My false ego is taking the ownership, that I am the doer. So that's the second thing. So, so here, as much as we become closer to the truth, and you start giving more importance to the spiritual side of life, we become more conscious of the spiritual reality. Krishna is saying here that you will notice this one thing, there is no real attachment to the ownership of the karma. It will leave you on its own. That's the only way it can happen. Because my identification with the body is so strong, that is the reason why I am feeling that I am the doer. But the more and more, if we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and a little bit of spiritual understanding comes inside us, and we become more conscious of the spiritual reality inside, not the bodily reality, the spirit, adhyalpam, the spiritual reality, once you become more conscious of that, you will also, in a natural way, you will start seeing that this I am the doer is slowly fading away from inside. What happens then? You will start seeing Maya is doing everything, Prakriti is doing everything. These are all practical experience of the rishis. That's why they are saying to us these things. But it is only due to lack of understanding of spiritual life, that not given enough importance to spirituality in life. Therefore, this is happening. That is their answer to that question. So, for example, we are chanting the holy name, isn't it? When you are chanting the holy name, if you approach some Mahalmas, what do the Mahalma will advise you? They will say, you chant more. Don't give up. Keep chanting. Chant more, they will say. If you say to them, look, I am chanting, say, 16 rounds a day. And you ask some Mahalma, I have been chanting for the last 30 or 40 years. Nothing has happened. I'm still feeling no way I'm moving forward in spiritual life. If you say them, this to them, you know what answer they will give? They will tell you this, please chant more. Chant more. And they will also tell you, dependent on Krishna for the result. This will be the answer they will give it to you. This will be the answer they will give it to you. Because we all had this frustration in life when we started chanting initially. We started chanting, many, many years we have chanted. 16 rounds, sometimes 25 rounds, sometimes more, like that. But after chanting several years, still you started feeling that this is not going further, it's not moving anywhere, it's not moving forward. So naturally when you get an opportunity to meet up with someone whom you have a lot of trust and faith, then you ask that person, what should I do? Naturally, it's natural that question will come, isn't it? I'm chanting, but nothing is happening, I still feel I'm not getting anywhere. So the advice they will give you always is like this, that please chant more and please be more dependent on Krishna. You may think that that instruction is just on the surface, they are telling you to get rid of you. No, it's not that. It is not that. They are talking to you with full sincerity and full knowledge. They are telling you. They know that I have some prarabdham in the way which is creating some problem, that I'm not experiencing that happiness, what I should, shanti, that should come from that. But if you stick to it and if you hold on to that, Krishna is saying that the result has to come. So that is how they advise. This is one important point. But and they will also tell you that while chanting, give up your, if you have any desires based on that, if you are chanting the holy name, give up those desires as well. That will be their advice. So ordinary people, they will say like this, that you chant, and then you say to inside, you see that madashraya includes all these things. Remember that word madashraya or manmayamama vashrida, it means all these things. That you are dependent on Krishna and you are chanting. That dependence is this, that you are not expecting results in that way able to chant. Normally we are used to this business in life, isn't it? We do something, result must come. And we bring that into spiritual life also, and the problem starts. So till that goes away, spiritual life is not going to go anywhere. It will go like this only. You will try a few years, or 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and finally you will think that, oh, nothing has happened, and you will give it up, and you will leave this world in that way. So that is because we have not taken the whole instruction properly. The instruction is like this. It's not only to chant the holy name, the instruction. Instruction is chant the holy name dependent on Krishna for whatever that happens. So that side is also equally important like chanting the holy name. That is not taken seriously. That's where the problem comes. So here, Krishna is saying here that if it is chanting the holy name, that don't expect any results from the chanting. That's first thing. Don't expect any results. As a matter of duty, one should do that. And if any results are coming from that, that should be offered to Krishna. That means, suppose you have become perfected in chanting, and that chanting is bringing some happiness in life, or shanti in life, that should be offered to Krishna. Because there again, the results are not for your happiness. It's only because of Krishna's grace that it has happened. Like that. That means there is surrender necessary there. Manmayama Mubashrida, Krishna is saying, isn't it? Vidaraga Bhayakrada, Manmayama Mubashrida, Bhavo Jnana Tavasa, Pudam Albhava Magada. Only if you are dependent on Krishna at every stage in spiritual life, then it is becoming a Jnana Tavasa. It becomes a Jnana Tavasa. That is the important point. So, Arpanam. Now, this issue, these problems, is not in the one or two people. This is everywhere in spiritual life. You go to any ashram, wherever people are living there, they are doing sadhana, they all have difficulty. That's why you will notice sometimes what happens is, people who are living in one ashram, they will visit another ashram to see how they are conducting their spiritual life. Both are serious about spiritual life. That's why they are living in the ashram. So normally what they'll do, one ashram, inmates of one ashram, they will go to another ashram to see what's happening in their ashram, how they are conducting their sadhana and things like that. And naturally, when you go there, things will be different. What happens in one ashram will be different in another ashram. Is it not? Because according to the principles they are following, whichever process they are following, their sadhana will also vary from one ashram to another. So in one instance, a group of devotees from one ashram went to another ashram. And when they went there, they saw there in this ashram, everything is in a different, totally different than the way they were practicing in their own ashram. In their ashram, they had a certain program of sadhana. That means they sat together for about an hour or two in the morning and chanted the holy name. And they actually offered their results, whatever that's coming from that sadhana, they offered to their spiritual master as a token of appreciation or gratitude. Offering the results to the spiritual master. That means whatever we have done, they have done together as a collective sadhana, that is. Whatever they have performed, the results that has come from that, they offered it to the spiritual master. You are not allowed to take the results, you have to offer it to the results to the spiritual master. So when they came to this second ashram, they saw that everything was different there. Everything was different. This has actually happened in Tirunamalai, this incident, in Ramana Maharshi's ashram. So when they came there, Maharshi was there. And they noticed that in Maharshi's presence, there were other devotees who were sitting there. And they were all sitting very silent. They were not engaged in particularly any sadhana there. So these other ashram people who had visited there, they come there. They asked them, "What is your sadhana? How do you do your sadhana here?" And so there was one devotee who was sitting there. Nobody answered that question. Maharshi also didn't answer that question. Maharshi didn't answer. I'll tell the whole story. Whether you will get that subtlety of the story, I don't know. I will try my best to say this. So he asked this question, "What is the type of sadhana what you do in this ashram?" he said. Maharshi didn't answer that question. Maharshi didn't answer that question. So one devotee who was sitting there, who was a regular visitor to Ramana Maharshi's ashram, he said to the visiting devotees, "What type of sadhana do you perform in your ashram? What is the system there?" So he told them that in our ashram, we chant the holy name for an hour or something like that, hour or two, and the results we offer it to our spiritual master, the results from that. Because every karmam has a result, is it not? So this kind of karma, particularly spiritual activities, salkarmam it is called, japam, dhyanam, there is a result from that. So the results have been offered to our spiritual master. So that Maharshi was there at that time. He heard this. And you know what he said? He said, "It's not bad." He said, "It is like this," he said. "You are keeping the capital and you are handing over the interest," he said. That was his comment on that. He said, "You will understand this better. I'll come through the story, what this means." He said, "You will keep the capital, or you keep the capital and you give only the interest back to the spiritual master, is it?" He said like that, he said. He made a comment like that. At that time, Muruganar Swamiji came there, another sannyasi who wrote 40,000 verses. About his verses are very, very famous verses. And Vedantam, Advaita Vedantam and all, he has practically drunk that like a, so well learned he was, that in his life he has written 40,000 verses about Vedantam. So you can imagine how absorbed he was in that. Yeah. So he came that way and he heard this conversation going on. So immediately he made a comment like this. He says to them, that is not bad. The spiritual master is very good. Your spiritual master is very good. Our problem here is, our spiritual master, he has even taken the capital. Not only the interest, he has even taken the capital," he said. Now, if you hear this, you won't get it, what he is saying there, is it not? You won't understand that, what he is trying to say. This is why spiritual discussions among elevated people is always very subtle. Only when you think through it, you will understand why he said like that. He says, Maharshi said, it is like this, that you are keeping the deposit, capital with you, and you are giving the interest. Muruganatha Swamiji comes there, he says, that's not a bad system, he said, because here what has happened is, the spiritual master has taken not only the interest, he has taken the capital also, he said. And they left it like that, they didn't say anything after that. Everybody understood what was being spoken. We didn't understand anything. We didn't understand anything what they spoke, did they? So, what is it? That is, what is that makes that interesting here? Now, what they understand is this, I can understand this when you explain this, that that here, everything when you do, behind that there is a force. What is that? Ahankara. False ego. False ego, isn't it? And when the false ego is there, the result is that I am the doer is there. And the result also is there. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam will come with ahankaram. It stands with ahankaram. Only when ahankaram is there, kartrutva bhoktrutvam can stay. If ahankaram is not there, then there will no kartrutva bhoktrutvam. Is it not? Where is the proof for that? Is it difficult to understand? Go to sushupti state. There is no ahankaram, there is no kartrutva bhoktrutvam. Is it not? Every day Krishna is showing to us this. As soon as you go into deep sleep, there is no false ego. And there is no I am the doer, I am the enjoyer either. So I am the doer, I am the enjoyer kicks in when false ego is there. Is it not? Sushupti is the proof of that. Sushupti is the proof of that. So similarly, here the point is that, so what is happening now? These devotees who have come from the another ashram, visiting devotees, what they are saying is, then we chant, but the result we hand over to the spiritual master. From this you have to understand one very important thing. This statement is very much on a mundane level. Very much on a mundane level. For example, you know, when people die, they make a will. Is it not? And in that will, they will write so much for the wife, so much for each of the children, my assets, and so much for Krishna also. In your will, you are incorporating that. Is it not? So much for charity. You can put it like that. Or if you are Krishna conscious, you may say that so much money for the temple or something like that for spiritual activity. Now, that thing is compared to this. Is compared to this. Therefore, that kind of writing will is material, materialistic. Is materialistic. Materialistic. That's what he says there. So, that means you have worked hard, you have earned a lot of wealth, and finally, before you are departing from the world, like you are given to your wife and children, you are giving a part of it that to Krishna also. That's what that means. Is it not? Many rich people do also like that. They will make big wills. People have got a lot of money. They'll make wills like this to make sure that part of it goes to a noble cause, noble purpose like a temple or hospitals or other kinds of charity. Or if they have no faith in the temples or churches or hospitals or anything like that, for their loving dog, a part for that also. Some part will be allocated for that also. There's not much difference than that. There's not much difference than that, isn't it? So, that is... but the problem there is this ahankaram behind it. I am the doer. Isn't it? I am the doer is there in that. I am the doer in there. And, but because it is done with that concept, that I am the doer, it is limited. It is limited. And I have done something and I have given the results to Krishna. Part of that given to Krishna. That is not the best. That is not the best. This is only a materialistic way of executing spiritual life. It is executing spiritual life. The best one is that, but if you start doing this, in this life you have done like that, Another life you may do like that. If you keep on doing like this, finally what will happen is, Krishna will get inside and Krishna will take care of everything else. But you have to start somewhere. And that is the reason why Krishna is saying, Yajnam Danam Tapasya should never be given up. Because if you start like that, eventually Krishna will get inside and he will change that sankalpam from inside, from us. It will happen from Krishna's side. And this is what has happened to Mahabali. Mahabali's case. This is why it is important. Mahabali, what did he do? Because we know we have limitations. And Mahabali's story is pointing out this to us. Mahabali initially thought, I am doing it. Is it not? Remember Mahabali's words to Vamanamurti when he walked in. What was that? He says to Vamanamurti, do you know what you have to ask Mahabali? When you come to see Mahabali, you should know what you have to ask, he says to Vamanamurti. Isn't it? Do you remember? See how that whole scene developed. Vamanamurti is coming. Mahabali is performing the sacrifice. Shukracharya is directing him. Everything. And Vamanamurti, knowing very well that he is the emperor of all the three planetary systems, he is performing the sacrifice. While performing the sacrifice, Vamanamurti knew that Mahabali has a strong ego inside. So what happened? When he comes and asked, Vamanamurti comes and asks for 3 feet of land, Vamanamurti felt a little bit insulted. Do you remember that? He felt insulted that you are coming to ask Mahabali, you are coming to ask Mahabali, who told you, so not anyone told you what you should ask from Mahabali, says. And then Mahabali offered so many things to him. Chariots, elephants, horses, and gold. And finally he said, because you are a young brahmachari, maybe you may like to get married, do you want me to find a wife? Who said this? Vamanamurti says to Mahabali. So when Mahabali is saying all these things, Vamanamurti is smiling inside. He is smiling because this ahankaram in Mahabali is so high at that moment. Is it not? So, but when Vamanamurti said, no, if I ask for more than this 3 feet of land, people will say, I am a very greedy person. I am by height only 3 feet, 2 feet or 3 feet, whatever the height was. And such a short person, but his greed is as high as the sky. That's what people will talk about me. So Vamanamurti gave some excuse why he doesn't want to ask any more than that. He said, I am a brahmachari. All I need is this 3 feet of land. If you give it to me, that's more than meets my requirement. All I need. So Vamanamurti kept that position always to say to Mahabali that I am not asking anything more than that. I am a brahmachari. That's all I need. Mahabali kept pushing this, and finally Mahabali realized it. That is when Krishna changed Mahabali's mind. Krishna changed that mentality. And something inspired Mahabali from inside to hand over everything to Krishna. And at that moment, even when Shukracharya came in and told Mahabali, Mahabali, don't give everything. Mahabali saying that when that Supreme Person comes and asks me, for whose satisfaction I am performing this sacrifice, when he himself is coming and asking me personally, if I don't hand it over, then am I not the wrong thing? Am I not doing the wrong thing? He asked Shukracharya. And even without consulting Shukracharya, he handed over everything to Vamanamurti. So, what do we understand from this? That means, yajnam danam tapasya karmam. All these things, initially we will be like Mahabali. It won't go away easily from inside. But if it is done and practiced regularly, at some point, Krishna will do the necessity to change our understanding from within like he did with Mahabali. That's the way it works. That is only the reason. Mahabali is given as an example of Atmanivedanam. Isn't it? Atmanivedanam means total surrender. That's what Mahabali has done. Now, out of the 9 processes of devotional service, starting with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Up to the first 8, one, you can practice it. The last one, you can't practice it. Atmani Vedanam. Therefore, it is called Angam. The other 8 is called Angi. So, the last one, Atmani Vedanam, is in Krishna's hands. And what Krishna is saying here, in this chapter, is that if you continue doing yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, karmam, even if there is imperfection, if you continue doing that, in course of time, Krishna will make the necessary changes in our sankalpam properly. Because you will not be able to hold on to that. This ego will not work for a very, very long time. Initially, it will be there in everybody. But over a period of time, that ego will slowly loosen up. And at some point in time, when we are ready, Krishna will get in and change the whole scenario. That's what Krishna is saying in this chapter. And that's what he's pointing out here also. So, if we are sincere, and even if there is limitations, suppose we have a lot of limitations in our, for example, when we do yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, sadhana, karmam, all these things, nothing is perfect, is it? None of us are perfect in any of these things. But if you keep doing it, one time, some time or the other, Krishna has to get inside and correct us and change our sankalpam from inside. That is, and like he did with Mahabali, he forced Mahabali to hand over everything. And finally, what did he do? He swallowed up Mahabali. That is the third feat, what we talk about. The 3 feet measuring the Mahabali's property, isn't it? For 2 feet, he measured, 1 feet, he measured the whole planetary system, Sarvalokam, everything, and the second feet. And then the third feet, he asked Mahabali, Avanumurti asked, where do I put that? So Mahabali had no place to show. He said that if you won't expand any more further, he said, I'll show you that third feet. And he put his head down in front of. That means it is to the true feet, third feet, that Vamanamurti has pulled out the false ego of Mahabali. Mahabali's false ego. With that, the surrender is complete. The charity was also perfect. And that is why when this yajnam was over, this yajnam, it was a yajnam, wasn't it? The yajnam was over. So big yajnam it was. Even the name, everything is mentioned in the Bhagavadam. That in the Bhrigu Kacham where it was happening, Narmada River Bank, where it was happening. And Shukracharya was the chief Purohit who was conducting that. And finally, when all these things happened, Krishna finally took out that false ego from inside, forced Mahabali to surrender. And then Shukracharya says to Krishna, Vamanamurti, like this, now that you had come, this sacrifice does not have to be completed. The sacrifice was not complete. It was still going on. So Mahabali has surrendered now. Who is going to complete the sacrifice? This issue came up after that. So Vamanamurti called Shukracharya and told him, you should complete the sacrifice. He said, the ritual side of it, you should now complete it. Ritual side. The principle behind that is over. The main issue behind the charity, behind the yajnam, already has done, has happened by Vamanamurti's presence. Vamanamurti's presence. So that is what important there. So Krishna is saying here, yajnam is purnam, perfect. That is the perfection of that yajnam. You see, that's the perfection of that yajnam. So everything you can only do what you are capable of, is it not? We can't do things what we are not capable of. So we have to take it like this, that there will be a gap always. And through that gap, Krishna will enter inside and he will do what is to be done. So yajnam, dhanam, all these things, Krishna is saying, the right way to do is sangam tektva bhalanija. That's what he is saying there. There should be no sangam. That is the most important thing. And that means that without any attachment, without any ego that I am the doer, and without expecting any expectations of any results from that, and without any desire to, which is not being particular, that the results must come like this or that, yajnam dhanam tapasya, everything should be performed, Arjuna, he says like that. So then, if it is like that, the question will come, why should I do all these things then? If it is like that, so... So if you say like this, that, oh, you should not do anything for the sake of results. Suppose somebody tells you, For the sake of results, you should not do anything. And if you keep on pushing that thing, then what will happen is that you will stop doing things. That is the other side of it. Karmam, the intricacy of karmam, that's what it is. That suppose you keep saying to people that you should not expect any results, you should not be attached to the results. Slowly, people will start thinking, then why should I do it? This question will come up. Why should I engage in these things, isn't it? And that is why the answer is this. Then suppose you say, suppose a company says to us that to all the employees, don't ask for the salary anymore. How many people will come to work? Nobody will turn up. Is it not? Nobody will turn up. That is why Acharya Swami mentions here, Atyantam Samsarasya Uparama Lakshanam. That is the answer to that. Atyantam Samsarasya Uparama Lakshanam. That means, if you want to escape from samsara, material existence, Uparama Lakshanam is this. Uparamatva means that this samsaram has certain nature. This doing, getting results is samsaram, business that is. I do something, I must get the results. So, if you are convinced inside that I am sure I want to free myself from this bondage in this world, from material life, material existence or samsaram. If I am convinced on that, atyanta samsara se uparama lakshanam. Uparamatva means, I want to free myself from that. If you really have that desire or not, the symptom of that is this. That is Acharya Swamiji's comment on that. He's saying, suppose everybody says, oh, I want to go back to Godhead, I want to go back to spiritual world, I want to get liberated and all these things. That's all fine. Acharya Swamiji is saying, if you are genuinely saying that, if it is genuine, coming from somebody, sincerely speaking that, atyanta samsarasya uparama lakshanam. Uparamatvam will be there. That uparamatvam means that you will not ask for the results of your karma. It will not come from inside. If it is coming still, it means that I am not ready to go. I still want to keep my life in this world, attachment to this life. Only one who has risen to that level, that I want to free myself from material life once for all, to go away from here. Only in that situation, one who is totally convinced and one who is situated in that state, only that person can give up the results of karma and he can execute that karma without expectation of any results. Practically, what he is saying here is that this state is in a very elevated state of the jnani who is situated in that platform. He will not be able to perform any more kamya karma, fruitive activities, or whatever karma he does in this. It is either vihita karma, or nishkama karma, or nisanga karma. Nisanga means without any attachment, nishkama means without any desires behind it, and vihita karma means that is what is prescribed for him. Only that he will do. So, any desire-oriented action has to come to an end. We can say this, so I have no desires. That's not good enough. That is not good enough. So, that means with proper understanding of the Shastra. Remember in the last chapter, Krishna mentioned this, is it not? That tasmal shastram pramanande karya gari vyavasthito. So that shastram we must understand, and based on the shastram we must live. Only then that karmam will eventually turn out to be free us from this. So natural way, Krishna is saying there, if it is done like this, selfish karmam which is meant for bringing our own happiness, personal happiness in this life, that will leave us, swartha karmam. That will leave us. Because why? Why? Then it will answer, question will come up like this. If I am not getting any results, why should I do this karma? This question will come back again. So, we will have a short break and then we will continue this topic again. It has a lot more things to it. Thanks to that. చేదోదర్పణమర్జనం వవమః దావాగ్నిమిర్వాపణం శ్రేయకైదవ చంద్రియా వివరణం విద్యావధూ జీవనం ఆనందాంబుదివర్ధనం ప్రతిపద పూర్ణామృతాస్వాదనం సర్వాత్మాస్వనం పరం విజయదే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నియమితా స్మరణేన కాలాం ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవాన్ మమావి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహా జనినానురాగాః తృణారవీషు నీచేన తరోరవీ సహిష్ణునా అమానినా మానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి మథనం నజనం న సుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహీదుగి త్వయి అయే నందతనుజ కింకరం పదిదామాం షమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత దూళీ సదృశం విచిందయాం నయనం గలద శ్రుధారయ వదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిరా పులకైర్నిచితం కదావపో తవ నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిషాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదధాదులంబరో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నయేవ నాపరా. సో దట్ సిక్స్త్ వర్స్ ఏదాన్యపి కర్మాణి సంగం త్యక్త్వా ఫలాని చ కర్తవ్యానిది మే పార్థ నిశ్చితం మతముత్తమం. ఆల్ దిస్ యాక్టివిటీస్ షుడ్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ వితౌట్ అటాచ్మెంట్ ఆర్ ఎనీ ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ రిజల్ట్. దే షుడ్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్ యాజ్ అ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ డ్యూటీ ఓ సన్ ఆఫ్ ప్రథ. దట్ ఇస్ మై ఫైనల్ ఒపీనియన్. That is my final opinion, says Krishna there, isn't it? So, as we have seen, that yam danam tapas, all these three things, Krishna said there, that never to be given up. And they should never be given up, first of all. Which one? Yam danam tapas should never be given up. But it should be performed without sangam and without expecting phalam, results. Without sangam, without expectation of any results. Arjuna, says Krishna. And this is Krishna's opinion. He said that, isn't it? Nishchidam madam uttama. That's my opinion, he says. You can do everything, but no sangam, no attachment to it. No kartrutvam. I am the doer. And this sangam will go when we know who we are. That's when the sangam will leave completely. When we realize that I'm not this body, I'm Atma, then sangam will go. Up to that time, it is because of the bodily identification is the sangam still there, attachment. Is it not? Bodily identification means what? Ahankaram, false ego. Once the ahankaram has left us completely, you will notice this in your own life. If you keep on looking a little bit at your own life, you will see that as time passes, this I am the doer also. And if you are regularly studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam and what Krishna has spoken there, and if you throw it into your own life and look at it, you will see that I am the doer is slowly moving away from inside. It won't completely go on first day, but over a period of time, this I am the doer will slowly vanish from within. Krishna is doing this through me. This understanding will become strengthened inside. And it is not that you are doing it. It happens in a natural way. That is what Krishna has spoken there. So, and that is due to little by little realization inside who I am. Because only when you are identifying with the body, that false ego is also very strong. And when the false ego is very strong, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is also very strong. Kartrutvam and Bhoktrutvam also is there. But the moment you move away from the body, and little by little this realization comes inside, that I have nothing to do with this body. It is only a burden on me. And I am trying to free myself from this body. It is nothing to do with me. Actually, it is only bringing me misery. It is only bringing me distress. And all the Vedantic principles, I am not this body, body is not mine, body is not for my enjoyment. If you keep on hammering this inside, sooner or later, you will get released from this identification with the body to some level, if not completely. Even though the urmi will be there, urmi means the waves, the six waves. Like when hunger comes, you will be affected. Thirst comes, you will be affected. Old age, you will be affected. Disease, you will be affected. But in a healthy state, at least, you will start slowly realizing that I have nothing to do with this body. A freedom from the body, you will have it at that time. This is how it happens. It doesn't happen overnight. In stages, slowly you are withdrawing from the body and the mind. And as much as you are withdrawing from the body and the mind, this I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, also you will see start diminishing inside. The false ego, it's like a mountain inside. You are continuously shearing it off in different levels. When you get the freedom from the body and the mind, you will also observe this one thing, that kartrutva bhoktrutvam is also not in me. Prakriti is actually doing it. That is what Bhagavad Gita has spoken there, isn't it? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyade. So that realization comes slowly, it takes time. But slowly, in some level, everybody start realizing that, provided they go through that. And then you start seeing that, is it possible these actions, all things will happen in the prakriti? Will it happen? Actually, it will happen much better than when you had put all your ego into it. Because that is why jnani is karmam. Jnani is the person who has completely freed himself from the body, isn't it? His karmam is called akarmam. If you remember, Krishna discusses that. Jnani's karmam is akarmam it is, isn't it? Here, Krishna is talking about one who is performing the sadhana. It is his case he is talking about. That means, without sangam, without attachment, and without sticking to it, do what you have to do and leave it behind. Without sangam and without sticking to it. That sticking is the whole problem. Sticking is the whole problem. Remember when we discussed this Karma Yogam chapter, how it should be done? They give this example that before you cut the jackfruit, you have to put the oil in the hand. Otherwise that sticky thing inside will stick, that white stuff inside. It will start sticking to your hands and legs and you'll never be able to get it out. It's a lot of effort to get rid of that from the hand. So normally when people are cooking this jackfruit, they first nicely massage both hands with oil so that it won't stick. It is the same principle. Similarly, that holding this knowledge is that oil. Holding the knowledge is the oil. So you should use that knowledge properly and execute the karma in that way. In that case, sangam won't happen. And also, after getting the results, you don't want to become anything. That expectation is also not there from the results. So, and you'll be able to execute the karma without any sangam. This does not mean that you will just do things and don't bother about it. That's not what it means. What it means is that fully you are conscious inside. Prakriti is doing everything. I'm just an instrument. It's happening to that. Krishna has engaged me in doing this. It's happening through me. The results is also in Krishna's hands. There could be problems. There could be results may not be up to your expectations if you have expected anything or you have thought about. But still, in spite of all that, karmam is not causing any, not leaving behind any mark inside. Karma bhalam, either in the form of kartrutvam or bhoktrutvam. If kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam is not there, then vasana won't be there. It won't generate any vasana inside. So in this situation, people ask this question: if it is like that, what for karmam then? If you have to do karmam, and if you are not having any ownership, you are not expecting any results from that, why do this karmam? Because most of the people are very happy to give up karmam also, isn't it? Because you can also see that in practical life, in sushupti state, where you give up all the karmam, is the best time, is it not? In the deep sleep state. So there is no karmam, there is no karta, doer, and there is no bhokta, enjoyer, in the deep sleep state, isn't it? In the deep sleep state, there is no doer, there is no enjoyer, there is no karmam either. There is no karmam either. Everything was given up at that time. So that state is samadhi sthiti it is. That is samadhi sthiti. When we are talking about, when Krishna is saying here, that recognizing that karmam is a problem, first thing, to recognize that. Karma vasana is inside all of us, and it is forcing us to act, like it did with Arjuna. In the case they had to fight the war, is it not? That vasana was there. Similarly, we all have different vasanas inside us, and it will come out in some form or the other. And when that vasana is there, prakriti is there, swabhavam is there, Krishna is saying to us that karmam should be handled in a particular way, that it will purify us, and eventually we will get released from the grip of karmam. That's the idea behind it. So, you can see this, when karmam, kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, karmam and action, and I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all these three things leaves us in the sushupti, in the deep sleep state, isn't it? So that is the perfect samadhi state, but we are unable to bring that back into our vacant state. That's where our problem. It's all these problems are only in the vacant state, isn't it? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, and also karmam, is all in the vacant state. It's all in the vacant state. So, one who is settled in jnanam, in knowledge, jnananishta, it is called, he has already given up karma. That Krishna has spoken that, is it not? He mentioned in the second verse itself, that the kamyanam karmanam nyasam, sannyasam kavayo vidu. That is perfectional stage. He has reached that state, sannyasam karmanam vidu. Karmanam, sannyasam karmanam vidu. And we are now talking about this, those who are in the other category. Sarva karma bharatyagam prahutyagam manishina. So, Krishna's opinion here is this, that unless you are mature to that level, perfection or pakvam or perfection has happened, one who is situated in the prakriti, in the material nature, to him, there is no point in telling him, give up, give up, give up. It won't work. That's the point Krishna is making here. He said, unless you have become a jnananishta, if your nishta is good, nishta means steadiness. You are established there in knowledge. If you are established in knowledge, it doesn't matter. Then you won't be pulled by the forces of karma from inside. But all of us practically, who are not established in that state, who are in the field of prakriti, which will force us to act through our agency called karma, those people to tell them, oh, give up everything, it will not work. It will not work. Because why? The vasanas are inside. He's not going to give it up easily. So what happens is, if you give up artificially, those people who do that, artificially you impose this, then wherever they have gone and landed, there all these vasanas will come out in some other form. In some other form it will come out. And in that way, they will disturb so many other people by their strong devotional service. It will be so powerful inside, that energy coming out, that they will make the whole life difficult for so many other people in this world. Because all that is coming out is their rajogunam and tamogunam. That is coming out. They are not taking into account any of those vasanas inside those people. There are so many examples. If you observe carefully people's life, you will see this happening again and again and again. The same thing happening. So, because Krishna is saying here, that person, his very structure itself, every cell in his body is filled with this desire, karma vasana. Karma vasana is filled inside there. And if you ask him to give it up, it will not go. And that is the drive behind these actions. And certain kind of action, that too. A certain kind of action. He has got a particular kind of vasana. Particular kind of vasana. Somebody has a good strong vasana for public relations. You will see, he will be very capable going out to all the ministers, presidents, prime ministers, and he'll be chasing them, whether he like it or not. That vasana is not letting him stay at home and to engage in spiritual life. Instead, vasana will push him to go in that route. Because that is the vasana inside, what can you do? That is what Krishna is saying. And you tell him that you give up all the karma, he won't be able to do it. His karma will go in another route. In another route it will go. That means he will get absorbed in all kinds of... because that vasana is there, public relations nature. So he will go after everybody you will think in the name of preaching, you will go to anyone and everyone and bring everybody inside into it. So there is no point in talking about it. It is the truth. It is the truth. There is nothing you can do about it. Krishna is openly opening up the chapter and telling us this. So it is no point, Krishna says, Arjuna, there is no point in me telling you not to fight, he says to him. And for example, a famous artist, and all other members in his family is telling him that you give up this art business and do anything else, whatever you can, but give up this art, it's no worthwhile doing this. He doesn't know anything else. This is the only thing he knows. So when it is similarly a musician, he is very fond of singing, he can sing very well, and he doesn't know anything else except to sing songs, isn't it? So that his one prakriti, material nature, has given that person the instrument prakriti has given to him is that body, isn't it? And that body is linked with that destiny of singing. They are linked to that. The reason why Krishna has given him that body, good for music, is that in his destiny, in his prarabdham, there is some singing to be done. So therefore, a suitable body for that purpose was created for him. All the talent necessary for that music. Now, if you tell him that don't do all these things, and you should not be doing all the singing, music, and try to force him to do something else which is not there in his destiny, prarabdham niyati as it is called, you will not be able to keep him there. You will not be able to keep him there. Because in the mandalam, prakriti's mandalam, prakriti mandalam means in the field of prakriti, which is known as the upadhi mandalam. Upadhi mandalam means body, mind, intelligence, false ego, senses, everything. This is all upadhi. So in the field of prakriti, in the field of upadhi, if you say that you should give it up, if you say that, it is ignorance. If you say that, it is ignorance it is. That means you have not understood what Krishna is saying. You can't make your own plans in spiritual life. You have to follow the shastram. What Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is saying, in the field of prakriti, in the field of the upadhi, you are not free. You are not free. In the field of prakriti, in the field of upadhi, you are not free. And you are also saying there that you are not doing that. Krishna is saying to us, is it not? And body is not me, is it? What is the body then? Body is prakriti. It is prakriti who has put this dress on us, is it not? The body, which is this dress, prakriti has put on us. So actually, this is prakriti. Body is prakriti. Similarly, personality is not me. That is also prakriti's creation is ahankaram, inside, false ego. That is a false ego, that is ahankaram. And that personality is not me. Real me is not that ego which is inside me, isn't it? So it is a peculiar manifestation of the self. Which one? This ahankaram. Ahankaram is a peculiar manifestation of the self. And when that ahankaram is present inside, manifestation is inside, Then, or based on that ahankaram, we are doing so many things. Why is it a peculiar manifestation? Because when you go into the deep sleep, it's not there. Where is he gone? Somewhere he is going and dissolving himself. But then again, he wakes up in the morning. As we said yesterday, the little man, he comes out. And then he does a lot of things, and in the night he goes away and escapes somewhere. We don't know where he has gone even. But the next morning he is back again to do his work, isn't it? So, so that is what in Shastram they call it as abhivyakti. Abhivyakti. He is not the personality, he is a false one. He is a false one, and he can't do anything. That is what Krishna is saying to him. That is niyati. Niyati means destiny. It is says to Arjuna. Arjuna, that is destiny. Example in the Mahabharatam, you know, when Bhishma came to know that he is going to be killed in the Mahabharata war, and how he is going to be killed, Bhishma knew about it, isn't it? Shikhandi was going to come and fight with him. Otherwise nobody could kill. There's a lot of background story behind it. How to kill Bhishma, Krishna sent Draupadi to Bhishma, there was conversation and all other things. It's all stories there. So Krishna arranged everything in such a way, by fighting with Bhishma, it was not possible to win. Krishna knew this. None of them, Arjuna, Karna, or nobody could fight with him. The old man was so strong, he has even beaten Parashurama on that. So what to talk about anything else? So that old man fighting with him was not possible. And Krishna knew the secret of Bhishma's strength. So to kill Bhishma was so difficult, finally he had to devise this plan of sending Draupadi to see Bhishma. Draupadi pays her obeisances to Bhishma. All that story in Mahabharata. Finally they developed the Shikhandi should fight. And Bhishma has taken a vow that he won't fight against a person like Shikhandi. So Shikhandi has come to kill him. Bhishma knew this. Bhishma knew this, that Shikhandi has come to kill him. But Bhishma didn't fight with Shikhandi. Didn't fight with Shikhandi. Because Bhishma knew he can't do anything about it. So, at the same time, he cannot stop fighting. Cannot stop fighting. So both these things he knows. Who? Bhishma knows. I can't stop fighting, but I'm going to be killed. It is knowing this, knowing that he is going to be killed, Bhishma fought. Bhishma fought in the war. Therefore, and that is why, this, who is the Shikhandi? The Shikhandi is a name used for Krishna in the 1000 names of Vishnu. One of the 1000 names of Vishnu is Shikhandi, which is addressing Krishna. Which is addressing Krishna. In other words, he came in the form that Krishna came in the form of death, which is Shikhandi, and standing as Shikhandi in front of Bhishma. That is how they managed to subdue Bhishma, isn't it? So, in the field of action, or in the field of this world, nobody is free. Nobody is free. As far as the field of action means Prakriti. Prakriti is concerned, and the body is concerned, nobody is free. Upadhi mandalam, Prakriti mandalam. We are not free. We are not free. And you will never be able to become free in the field of Prakriti or in the field of Upadhi. That one understanding we must have in spiritual life. Because these are problems that comes to us. When we continue in spiritual life, some point in time the body will wither away. Body will start collapsing. At that time we'll start thinking, oh, I have done so much spiritual activities. Why Krishna has given me this trouble? People say like that, is it not? People always ask this question. Oh, why did Krishna do this to me? I have done so much service to Krishna. Krishna never promised us that he is going to keep this body permanent with us. No matter what service you have done in life, what sadhana you have done or upasana you have done, body belongs to Prakriti. Body is not yours. And Prakriti will do whatever Prakriti wants to do with the body at the appropriate time. Prakriti will make that decision. And that is another side of calculations. Whole set of new calculations which is in the Prakriti hands. There you have no freedom. You have no freedom there. That means in Prakriti Mandalam, you have no freedom. Upadhi Mandalam, you have no freedom. Upadhi Mandalam means mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses, all these things, you have no freedom. Prakriti Mandalam means in your activities in this material nature is concerned, also you have not, you have no freedom. Therefore, you will never be able to have that freedom at all throughout life. You never have that freedom. That's what Krishna is saying in the next verse. If you look, you will see that.
Verse 7.
Karmano nopapadyate mohal tasya parityagas tamasa parikirtita niyatasya tu sanyasa karmano nopapadyate mohal tasya parityaga tamasa parikirtita. Look at that, how precise that answer is from Krishna. That Upadhi Mandalam, Prakriti Mandalam, you have no freedom. You have no freedom there. Whatever has to happen with this body, mind, intelligence, senses, it will happen. You don't have any freedom there because it is not in your control. It is in Prakriti's control. She will decide what has to happen. That is why we say that don't wait for retirement to start spiritual life. Sometimes like people say, is it not? Thinking that, oh, I'll make my plans after retirement, 10 years to retire from now. So after that retirement, I will take to spiritual life seriously. People say like this sometimes. Suppose you are working very hard, 18, 20 hours a day sometimes, isn't it? Certain jobs are like that, very demanding. And then if you tell them that, look, you have to do something about spiritual side, they'll say, well, I have to work so many hours, 16 hours, especially in IT industry and so many, medicine also, so many like that. Professions are like that, very demanding. Modern world is like that. So then they will think that right now I have to work so hard, I have to earn money and I have to live in this world. But when I retire, the people always, you must have heard this, I want to retire at 50, somebody says. Somebody says, somebody who is doing well, they say, I'll live at 40, they say. And then he'll be working at 80 also. This is what the general scenario is, always like that. Some people will say like this. When you are working in the office, you will see your colleagues will tell you, oh, I have to make so much money, and then just 40, I want to live. Or 50, I want to live, retire. I want to retire and go, they say. That won't happen. Why? Because, and then is you're saying that, oh, like Ajamila said, isn't it? At the age of 88, I'll start like Ajamila after retirement. The government is saying, put it up further. Isn't it? 67, 68, 70, very soon it will be 70. So when 70 I retire, I want to start my spiritual life. I can't even sit in one place. By now, this side is aching. That's, I put one cushion this side, another cushion on the other side to make myself so that I can sit in some place. And after that, I want to start chanting, but I'm falling asleep. So, where is spiritual life then? Then you are saying, oh, I was much better off when I was working. So, all these years you are waiting for the retirement. After retirement, you are saying, I was much better off when I was working. I had much better health. I should have been doing then. So here also you are lamenting, there also you are lamenting. It's only lamentation that goes on, nothing else. So that's why spiritual life is, when you got the opportunity, do it, and if you don't do it, you lost it, that's all. Whenever you have the health, you have the frame of mind, you have the inspiration and opportunity to do something in spiritual life, doing means to engage in sadhana and to develop spiritually, that opportunity is not in your, is not in your hands. It is, if Prakriti is not giving you too much trouble, that's the time to do it. Prakriti Mandalam, Upadhi Mandalam, you have no freedom. That is what Krishna is saying here in that verse. He's saying there, Niyatasyadu sanyasam karmano nopabadhyade mohal tasya parityagas tamasa parigirtida. He says, prescribed duty should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, Such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. I will explain that verse better, because this is just a basic translation of the verse. Krishna begins with niyati. Have you noticed that word? Niyatasyadu sanyasam. That is how he begins that verse. So, prescribed duties, Krishna is saying like this. He says that niyati. Niyati means what destiny has brought for you in life. We are all in different boats, isn't it? In different situations in life. That's destiny. That's destiny, that is. Put us in different jobs, different occupations, and different family situations. This is all destiny it is. There's nothing you can do about it. And Krishna is saying, whatever karma has come like that, that cannot be given up. It cannot be given up. So, for example, as you say that, suppose due to moha. Moha means illusion. Moha means illusion. He says here, isn't it? Mohad. Moha tasya parityagam. Moha tasya parityagam means due to moham, due to illusion, if you start thinking, what is the point in chanting this holy name like this all the time? And you are chanting for some time, and then you started thinking, due to illusion, moham, that's what it is called, you decided to give it up. You decided to give it up. So, if you have given up, what has happened now? That pavanatvam. Remember Krishna mentioned before? Pavanani manishana, he said. That pavanatvam has gone with that. With that, pavanatvam is gone. Because this person, he didn't have anything else in his spiritual life. Yeah? He has not been hearing Bhagavad Gita. He has not been studying Srimad Bhagavatam. He has not been making any endeavor to develop spiritually in his own life. The only little thing he was doing was this chanting the holy name for, say, 10 rounds or 16 rounds, whatever it is. He was doing that. Even that he has given up, saying that there's no purpose in doing all these things. Nothing is happening. So, what Krishna's point is, the only thing what was there in his life to purify him was this chanting. Even that he has given up now. That's what has happened. So, and that also he has gone and thrown it away. Therefore this question will come all the time in life, in every one of our life. Because we are so absorbed in the karma, you never know when Prakriti will pull you down into karma and to Prakriti's field or to the field of the body. Field of the body, upadhi level. If it pulls us too much into the upadhi or to the Prakriti, the first decision we will make is, whatever little sadhana we are doing, we will just throw it away and go fall into that Prakriti Mandalam or Upadhi Mandalam. So, in a similar way, if people will start asking this question, this is all modern ideas, people's mind. Why do we need all these temples? What for? They are saying like this, and they start preaching like this. So, I am sitting at home and I am watching these programs on the television, or I'm listening to these tapes or cassettes or whatever it is. I don't need all these things, so I just don't have the time to go to the temple. Why do we need all this establishment there, temples? And there is all these practices, rituals going on there. If you say like that, what will happen is, you will leave even that little thing what you have, and finally everything will be centered around the television and material life. It will slowly slip back into material life again. So, if the temple is not there, that was the only, I'm talking about a proper temple, where there is no business going on. In a proper temple, where there is spiritual activity alone is happening, that is a place to go to. And that is a place where it is meant to inspire you in spiritual life. At least for that certain area, for a certain period of time, when you are there, you are free from your material instincts, material thoughts. Just go away from inside in a natural way. Because everything what's happening there is very spiritual. Therefore, you are not affected by the materialistic surroundings there. In the materialistic situation is not existing there, isn't it? So, if you start thinking that, oh, there's no point in going to the temples, then even little spiritual motivation what you have, that will also go, and finally what will happen, the temples will also get closed down. Temple will also get closed down. And therefore, best thing is not to try to improve the world. World you can't improve. And whatever that is there, let it remain like that. Not to spoil that. That is what Krishna is saying here. Niyatasya nu sanyasam karmano nopabadhyade. That two lines is indicating that. Niyatasya nu sanyasam karmano nopabadhyade. He is saying there. Yatyam dhanam tapas. Whatever it is there, let it remain as it is. Do not throw them away. That is the message Krishna is saying to you. Because Niyati has brought that. Niyati has brought that. So, suppose due to illusion, because sometimes what happens is, when illusion gets in, that you start deciding that, start making decisions, I don't need yajnam, I don't need dhanam, I don't need tapas, we don't need temples. All these ideas will start building up inside in people's mind. It happens like that. And if you start giving up all these things, what will happen is, Krishna is saying, mohal tasya parityagas. Due to giving up such things, due to illusion, that is, Krishna is saying, mohal tasya parityagas. And that kind of giving up is tamasam, Krishna says. See that? Tamasam parikirtide, he says. Tamasam parikirtide. Therefore, parikirtide. So, just like I was mentioning there, some people are working. They are thinking like this, one day I have to give up all this job, all this work I am doing. This is working very hard. And then I want to be peaceful after that. I want to be peaceful. And you ask that person, how many years have you got to retire? He says, I've got another 10 years to retire. After 10 years, I will retire. What does that mean? For the next 10 years, he doesn't have any peace of mind. That's what he's saying to us. That person, when you say to him that I've got another 10 more years to retire, what he's saying to you is that for the next 10 years, I have no peace of mind. I have no shanti inside to do anything in spiritual life. So, first of all, where is the guarantee that you will live for another 10 years? What guarantee is there in life, isn't it? And as far as peace of mind is, peace is concerned, you have to have it now, not after 10 years. If I'm going to have some peace in my life after 10 years, then it's not worthwhile, is it? So, not that after I give up the job, I'm going to have the peace in my life. Not like that. Not only if I give up my job, I'll have my peace. Then it's not worthwhile, isn't it? So, if you have given up this job, even what you have now, one day when you retire, then will you be without any work then? Will you be living without doing any work? No. So, it is at that time when you start for chanting the holy name or japam or dhyanam, you'll start realizing that other problems have come in life. Work is not bothering you anymore. Body is giving you trouble. Pain in the hip, pain in the legs, or some other problem, there's a list, isn't it? Which one will come? Nobody knows. Cancer, stroke, pressure, diabetes. Which one of these one will be with us at that time? We don't know, isn't it? So, or somebody who were close to you died, gone away from this world. That has upset everything. Or another new family member has come. Somehow or the other, to the complications I'm saying. Sometimes anything can happen. So people's lives, some husband and wife, somebody dies, goes away. Life changes, the whole pattern changes. Or the daughters got married or sons got married, children were born. Attachment got built up there. Another problem. So where, who will catch you, nobody knows in the retired life. Even in the retired life. That is why Krishna is saying here, or somebody is born or somebody is dead, or there is financial problems, not enough money to maintain in this world, poverty, or something in the family that whatever you have planned in life, daughter didn't get married, son didn't get settled, you know hundreds and millions what householders' problems. They are all still there. They have not gone away. After all this problem is resolved, then I am going to come to spiritual life. It's not going to happen. That is the point Krishna is making. That is why in this verse Krishna is saying here, niyadasyadu sanyasam karmano noba badyade. Then niyadi, niyadi means destiny. That what is coming from the destiny, if you try to throw it away, if you try to sanyasam karmano noba badyade, that should never be done. What destiny has thrown at you, accept it without complaining about it. But don't link that with your spiritual life. Why? Mohaltasya parityagal tamasa parigirtade. Sometimes it happens in life, people do certain things, they give up certain things in life to make themselves, they want to have spiritual life, so they are thinking that by changing the pattern of life, something can improve and they will be better set established in life, that they can engage in spiritual life. There are many people who do these things. Some people have purchased flats in Mayapur and Vrindavan after retirement to go to. Not one. Mayapur as well as Vrindavan. And if you ask them now, what are you doing now? They say, I'm busy. I have to make money. Because when I retire in Mayapur or Vrindavan from 10 years now or 20 years from now, flat is already there, booked. Everything is ready there. All I have to do is to go there. And I should have enough money when I go there. So this will be the answer. Now they have no time. After 20 years from now. So, that kind of preparations, Krishna doesn't approve that. He's saying to us that right now what are you doing in spiritual life? Nothing. And you are planning for your future, but because the whole future is not in your hands, it is in the hands of Prakriti. So you can see here that when you retire, you will notice at that time that when I was working 10, 20 years ago, I had a good health. And I had sufficient money. And all these problems were not there. I should have been doing spiritual life at that time. I should have been engaged in spiritual life at that time. You will start thinking like that after retirement. So now you are thinking this way. When you get there, you start thinking the other way. This is all going on in the spiritual life. So many people are in this way, passing their time in this world. Planning for what? There's not much to plan here. There's no time to plan all these things. Therefore, that is this point, this verse is important because of that. To point out to us, Krishna is saying to us, niyadasyadu sanyasam. Niyadi, what is coming from niyadi, don't take sanyasam from that. If you take sanyasam from niyadi, you will pay for it later. Never try to get freedom or to become free from the field of Prakriti. From Prakriti's field, don't try to become become free from the field of Prakriti. Because if you try to change and swap this way, that way, and try to become free, and to try to become independent of that, that independence will not come. Prakriti has decided to do something with this body and the mind. And she will do according to her decisions, what she has made. That is what is, we call it as niyati. That is what Krishna is saying here. Niyadasyadu sanyasam karmano nobhapadyade. He is warning us. Krishna is strongly warning us. Niyadasyadu sanyasam karmano nobhapadyade. If you do that, moha tasya parityagam tamasa parikirtida. Your sacrifice is nothing but Arjuna. It is in the tamasic mode. You are doing it in tamasam. That is tamasam. So, tyagam is what we are discussing now. Is it not? Tyagam. So, this is tamasa tyagam. Krishna said, like he decided, he spoke to us in the last chapter, in the 17th chapter. Yatyam dhanam tapas and also aharam devada. Five things he spoke. All of them under sattvika rajasa tamasam he spoke to us in the last chapter. In this chapter, Krishna, when Arjuna asked this question, difference between sannyasam and tyagam, Krishna is saying to us, tyagam also is under sattvika rajasam tamasam. And the tamasatyagam is this. Tamasatyagam is this. We must understand all these things. Otherwise, always there will be doubts inside the mind, whether we are doing the right thing or not. How will it go otherwise? We'll do so many things and not knowing whether it is right or not. We may be doing tyagam, but it could be tamasam. It could be tamasam. Krishna is saying here, tamasa parikirtide. Tamasa parikirtida. He says like that. Is it not? So, here, Freedom we have. We have freedom. Where? That's the question, isn't it? And how does that happen? What is that freedom we are talking about? Freedom is not in the field of body, in the field of mind, or the field of senses. These things, there is no freedom there, because that is in the prakriti. What Krishna is saying here is that the more and more you become conscious of your spiritual identity, who you are spiritually, you will notice that externally that freedom what you are looking for is happening in a natural way. That's the way to free yourself from the body. Not by giving up. Karma will come. Whatever prakriti has thrown at us will happen. But even while all these things are prakriti's influence, and also influences of the upadhis are still there. But while all this is happening, if you are spiritually growing inside, spiritual understanding, spiritual awareness, spiritual realization is building up inside, Krishna is saying, slowly, slowly, you will experience that freedom what you are looking for, which is freedom from the body, mind, intelligence and ego. Not otherwise, you won't get the freedom from the prakriti. Prakriti won't give you that freedom otherwise. There are so many stories about this. One Mahatma used to say this. He said that a mother-in-law there and the daughter-in-law is there, newly married she is, and her son, the mother-in-law means her son, married this young girl, brought her home. And initially, mother-in-law will expect her to do a lot of work, housework, is it not? A lot of housework. But later on, when after a year or two or three, when she gets pregnant, mother-in-law says to the daughter-in-law, don't do all this work. You are given a little freedom. Because she knows, mother-in-law knows that if the daughter-in-law has to do heavy work, then it may upset her pregnancy or something like that. So then the mother-in-law says to her that you don't have to do all this work. She starts doing herself. Mother-in-law herself manages that. And once the baby is born, mother-in-law says to the daughter-in-law, your responsibility is to look after the baby. Don't worry about cooking. Don't worry about cleaning the house. That's all. We'll manage it somehow. This is how it happens. This is only an example. This example is given by different people. So, what is happening there is that Krishna himself, when you become more and more centered in spiritual life, Krishna will slowly release you from the field of prakriti and the field of upadhi. He himself will release you from the field of prakriti and the field of upadhis. That's what happens. That's how it happens. On your own, you won't be able to come out of it. So Krishna, when he releases us, because that is spiritual life. Spiritual life means from inside Antaryami recognizing your urgency, your desire and your sankalpam strongly and your endeavor, what you are putting into spiritual life, into sadhana, into satsangam, into bhagavadam, into the holy name. When Krishna is seeing that, you want to free yourself from the... And when Krishna sees that, your upadhis are becoming an obstacle in that, little by little, Krishna will give you that realization from inside and make you feel free. That means the problems of upadhi, the problem of prakriti will slowly start disappearing in life. Will slowly start disappearing. All that depends on how centered we are in spiritual life. As much as we are getting centered around in the spiritual life, prakriti will withdraw herself from us. And what's happening is, we are becoming centered more on the spiritual side, and prakriti is withdrawing from there. Not otherwise giving up. Giving up is not the process. Giving up is not the process. Instead, becoming more centered in spiritual life and prakriti withdrawing from us. Upadhi is withdrawing from us. That means prakriti herself will withdraw in such a way, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, raga, dvesham, and such things will diminish in course of time. Will diminish in course of time. This is how karma yogam functions in life. Karma yogam turns out at the end. So, therefore, Krishna is giving a strong warning in this verse. Whatever that has come through niyati, don't throw it away. He says,
Niyadasyatu sanyasam karmano nopapadyate.
Mohal tasya parityagal. Tamasa parigirtida. But out of tamasic nature, if you have thrown away everything and taken to spiritual life, finally you will fall. You will fall. That's the strong warning Krishna is giving there in this chapter.
Tamasa parigirtida. It is called tamasic.
Or Krishna is saying, this kind of sannyasam is tamoguna sannyasam. Sannyasam in tamogunam. That is why often you find sometimes people take to sannyasam. Is it not? Vasanas have not gone and they fall. So many instances, isn't it? You can see this. Fall does not mean only breaking four regulative principles. Falling means in various ways people fall from the sannyasam state. They are not in the sannyasam state. Dress and everything may be sannyasam. But the state is not sannyasam state. They are not in the sannyasam state. As Krishna said, what sannyasam state means, isn't it? That state is not there. Then they engage in all kinds of activities. And they will say that, oh, this is all devotional part of devotional service. They'll put a stamp there on everything. Devotional service is a it's a very open-ended check. Isn't it? You can call anything as devotional service. But you have to ask that question also, that what does that word mean? Isn't it? How do you explain this word devotional service? Bhakti is translated as devotional service. Is it not? So, bhakti is a very complex thing to explain that. It's very difficult. That is why in Narada Bhakti Sutram, Sri Narada Maharshi did not define specifically bhakti what it is, isn't it? He gave us four options. Vedavyasa Maharshi's definition. Then Narada Maharshi's definition. Shandilya Maharshi's definition. And I think Yashoda Brahma Maharshi's definition. Four different definitions in the Narada Bhakti Sutram, which is the most authentic literature on the bhakti process. So, even there you can see the difficulty about bhakti. When we start talking about bhakti, bhakti can be interpreted in many, many ways. People are doing so many different things according to their vasanas. And they are saying that it's all bhakti. And that's a bit difficult to digest, isn't it? It doesn't make sense, first of all. It's not properly authorized. Shastram doesn't authorize like that. You don't see anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam bhakti explained it in that way. You can, I've dovetailed that, they call it. So, they say, there are so many nice English words also for that, to link it up with bhakti. But it is not bhakti. Bhakti has its own. You have to read the Bhakti Sutram, you will see there, that yada vrajabhobhiganam, he says there. Who says? Narada Maharshi says. He gives the example, best example of bhakti is gopis, they say. Who? Narada Maharshi says. Yatha vrajabhobhiganam, he says there. So, gopis bhakti, if you want to know, you have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Where else you will find gopis bhakti? So, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is gopis bhakti. You can say that is bhakti. Is it not? Otherwise, how will you understand gopis bhakti? So, every great devotees, if you want to understand their bhakti, you have to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Where else? Kunti Devi's bhakti, Bhishma's bhakti, Ambarish Maharaj's bhakti, Akrura's bhakti, Uddhava's bhakti. So, bhakti is you can understand from there. Nowhere else. Narada Bhakti Sutram or Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita or authorized literature which Krishna has spoken, all the rishis have given, they are the authentic texts to explain bhakti to us. I can't go and do anything what I like and say I have dovetailed it with bhakti and that's bhakti. Who is going to accept that? That's karma it is. It's not bhakti. So this fine fine understanding on the bhakti, that can only be taken from the shastram. Everything else is not acceptable, isn't it? So here Krishna says there, this is also sannyasam. You have given up everything. Only thing is, it is tamoguna sannyasam. That's all it is. Krishna is saying, it is tamoguna sannyasam. He says like that. So what has happened now? You have given up all these things. Tamoguna sannyasam you have taken. I become a sannyasi.
And then I am saying that now that I am a sannyasi and I have got so many things to do in this world, so many projects are going on, I have to meet up with so many people, I have got so many appointments all over the world to meet and talk and discuss so many things, therefore I just don't have the time to chant the holy name now. Let's come to that. And there is no time for deity worship. So then after that, when you come to the temple, oh, I can only come for an hour to the temple just to give the lecture. And after that, I have to catch the flight. The flight is so early that I have no time for any other things. It turns, the whole thing gets turned. Is it not? So you can see how tamoguna sannyasam completely upset your steadiness and sadhana in spiritual life. It goes away at that time. So sometimes sannyasis say like that. Some sannyasis say like that. They say that I don't have time now to chant. I don't have time to read Bhagavatam. And then I've got a round the world ticket because I'm not allowed to stay anywhere. So I got a round the world ticket. And I'm trying from running. All the time I am busy on the computer booking my flights. This is what I am doing. Whole time I am busy with this. Because, and then what else? Every time wherever I go, I have to have somebody to pick me up at the airport, somebody to drop me at the airport, I have to organize my accommodation. Then I am getting old, so I need somebody to cook my prasadam, special prasadam. Temple prasadam is not suiting me. All new demands and requirements are coming. So what happened now? You have no time for chanting now. You have no time for anything else, for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, because you are a sannyasi, comes, everybody says, oh, sannyasi has come. He has to give the class. He takes the Bhagavatam and says, which verse? He says, oh, this is the verse. All right, what's written there? Translation, purport, read it. There's nothing more to say. You have no time to look through the Bhagavatam. What Bhagavatam has to say? You see, not. So, these things, that means, in sadhana you are falling down, Upasana, you are falling down. Swadhyayam is going away. There is no more studying books. Where is the time to study when you have to fly around all over? Where is the time for that? And like this, that is the defect of this tamasa parikirtide. That's what Krishna is saying to us. If you go into sannyasam in this way, what will happen is, your anushtanam, upasana or sadhana, what you are meant to do, when Krishna said that yajnam, danam, tapasya, karma should never be given up, he says there. Keeping all that in life, your sannyasam has to work. But if you have given up all these things, and then you say you are a sannyasi, that means the result will be disastrous. Krishna says, that is tamasam. It is tamasam, he says there. So, but one thing you have to notice there, he has given up his chanting, he has given up his reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but he has not given up his prasadam. That's another side to it. He has not given up his prasadam. He has not given up his silk saffron dhotis. Or he has not given up any of the comforts in the other things. A good place to sleep. Reasonable comforts in life. All that he couldn't give it up. So, and then he wants that once a year, some massage somewhere in a Ayurvedic resort or somewhere. So many other plans. Because he thinks, I'm traveling like this, like a headless chicken all over, and I need this body, cannot handle it. So the body requires maintenance. So therefore I need all the treatment associated things with that, for you need money also. So what do you do then? This is all tamasam. All this is falling into the tamasi category. It is not satika sannyasam. It's all tamasika sannyasam it is. You have given up things, and so because Krishna is saying here, that all these upasana, these different things, upasana, similarly, all of them is like body needs all these things, isn't it? That I have to eat food. Prasadam is necessary for sannyasi also. And sannyasi also has to sleep. He needs a proper place to sleep. So just like the body needs that, inside the subtle body requires the upasana, anushtanam, sadhana, everything. That cannot be given up. That is Krishna's point. As much as this gross body, what it demands, like taking bath properly, and as you get older, more maintenance of the body, and also prasadam, all are bodily needs, is it not? Sharira mandalam, Prakriti. Prakriti expects that, that Shariram has provided, body is provided with all those things. Equally, Krishna is saying to us that for a sannyasi, as much as the body needs the bathing, sleeping, eating and all that, equally important for him that in his andarika level, internally, in a subtle level, he requires yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, sadhana, anushtanam, upasana, everything. That can never be given up. This is the point Krishna is making here. So, jnanam, knowledge in other words, that it is our surubanishta, that is jnanam. Jnanam means you're always identifying with the Atma or the Self inside, isn't it? So, even if you are fixed up in the Jnanamandalam, in the Surubanishta, Surubanishta is what Krishna is talking about in that second verse, you remember? Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Samnyasam Kavayo Vidu. That is Surubanishta. Surubanishta means he is situated in his identity as a Self. Because sannyasam is expected like that, that you are identifying with the Self, isn't it? In that platform, in that level. So when you are like that, in that state, equally important at that time, in the field of the mind, manomandalam, and in the field of the body, physical level, sharira mandalam, also some discipline is necessary. Some discipline is necessary. You can't throw them away. You see? Do you know what I'm saying? That you have, say, a proper sannyasi. He has reached that state of sannyasam. What Krishna has spoken in that way. That sannyasam stage has come to him. If he is situated in that state, you have to remember, acknowledge also, as much as he is situated in the platform of the knowledge, at the same time, because you have not completely been freed from the body and the mind, you still need that discipline in the platform of the body, mind and in the prakriti. Particularly in the mind and the body. That discipline is still necessary. That cannot be. If you don't have the discipline in the mind and the body, it is tamasam. Krishna is saying it is tamasam. So, but one who is realized, you can see this also. Many people have this false understanding also, that once you have completely realized the Self, he does not need all these things. Some people have this false understanding. He is realized, that means he doesn't need any kind of discipline discipline in his life. We mistakenly think like that. That's how it happens. For example, if you are associating with, say, so many sannyasis, because they are supposed to be on the highest level, is it not? And if you observe their life, you must observe their life also, how they are living in this world. You will notice there that if he is living in a life as we have spoken so far, that sannyasam is tamasam. But if he is situated on the platform of knowledge, platform of the Self, or properly situated in the platform of the Self, in that case, if you observe him, you will notice one thing, that externally he may not be doing very much. He may not be doing very much. But internally, if you observe him, he will be very much in the nivritti stage, not pravritti stage. It will be nivritti in him. Nivritti. Nivritti means, you know pravritti, nivritti, don't you? Pravritti is that going all the way, doing something all the time. And that karma will be pushing him very hard from inside. Karma vasana will push from inside to go and do things. But this person, if you observe that person, Yani, who is situated in the platform of the Self, externally he won't be doing very much. But simultaneously if you observe him, you will notice that inside he is very peaceful. Nivritti. Nivrittam is there in him. That you have to carefully observe these things, otherwise you won't notice it. See, our problem is we are not very subtle people. That's our problem. We are also equally gross. And we, because of our grossness, we can't see these subtleties of the spiritual life. We don't notice them. We think that, oh, he's a sannyasi, he's got the dress. Well, it's all right, we let him go, he's a sannyasi. We accept it like that. He may be doing all nonsense, but you take anything, go, he's a sannyasi. Why? Institution has stamped him sannyasi. We go along with that. We don't have that subtle vision to see that is what is happening in his life. Is that what is sannyasam Krishna is talking about? Because how will you understand sannyasam otherwise? You can study the books, but you need people also who are in that state, is it not? Otherwise, how will you see that? How will you? So when we are talking about sannyasam, Krishna is serious about it. It's not a joke. It's a serious business. So that is why he is saying here that nivritti, or that nivritti inside. Nivritti means no pravritti. That's nivritti, is it not? Pravritti means getting entangled everywhere. That's pravritti. Nivritti means freedom from everything. That is nivritti. And still that shanti inside. That is nivritti. Remember, Krishna has spoken about that many. Pravritti lakshanam, nivritti lakshanam. Two things. Is it not? So, pravritti lakshanam will go away and nivritti lakshanam will start building up inside that person. But that person, if you observe, maybe he is not doing everything as you expect him to do. For example, maybe he may not be chanting all the 16 rounds. He may not be doing so many other things. Sadhana, what you think that, oh, he has given up. He may have given up, but inside that person, there is that nivritti lakshanam in him. Nivritti lakshanam in him. That means he has come out of the field of karma. Material nature has slowly started releasing him from the grip, from her grip. And that will manifest in him in this way. That means you will see a great peace, shanti inside him, completely independent. And even though he may not be doing all the sadhana what you may be doing. So these things one has to observe. Because as far as he is, this nivritti is the symptom of knowledge. Nivritti is the symptom of knowledge. Remember when we started Bhagavad Gita, we were discussed about this. That jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam. You said that, isn't it? So karma yogam has taken him to the jnana yogam. He is moving away from the field of karma. Through karma yogam, what he has done, and through the cultivation of knowledge, it has brought him and put him in a state where karma is not giving him any more hassle, any more problems. Therefore, slowly he is getting released from the karma. The symptom of that is the shanti, what you see in him. We are all very disturbed. Why we are disturbed? Because of the karma inside. That's what is causing all the problem. But once the karma has left from inside, that shanti, peace, what Krishna says, it will naturally manifest in a person. Manifest in a person. So that is the most important thing in this verse Krishna is saying here. So, and that itself is a discipline in him. You will see that discipline in that person, and that is his beauty. His beauty is that nivritti in him, not pravritti. Pravritti is not beauty. Nivritti is beauty. Spiritually, nivritti is beauty, not pravritti is beauty. Pravritti can never be beauty, because in the karmi world also you see who do more pravritti than our people in spiritual life. Isn't it? Is that beautiful? It's not beautiful. Big directors and executives of big companies. Some of them work 18, 20 hours. Is it not? Is that beautiful? I don't think it's beautiful. It's hell, isn't it? So, pravritti is not beauty, either materially or spiritually. Nivritti is beauty. Nivritti means you have managed to escape from that disease of karma. And you are becoming more and more settled in your identity of the self. That is beauty. That is spiritual beauty. So that nivritti you will see in a jnani who is realizing the self and who is getting released from the field of pravritti. So Krishna is saying there in that verse, yajnam dhanam tapasya, giving up all these things is tamasa. Tamasa parikirtida. And we on our own should not give up anything. We should not. And this jnani, he does not give up on his own. They have to leave you. You should not give them up. They have to leave you. A stage will come like that when they make that stage. They give an example. Just like when the coconut, when you scrape the coconut, Part of it will still stick to it, is it not? When it is green coconut, when it's not fully drying, isn't it? But after a while, when it has become very, very much ripened, and if you put them in the sun for a short, long time, and you take that coconut, if you shake it, you will see, what do they call it, the kernel, isn't it? The inside part. The kernel has separated from the cover, shell, from the shell. Kernel is separated, and you can see when you shake it, the kernel, you can know that it has come out of the shell. It has come out of the shell. And it will, if you take it out, you can use it for whatever purpose you want to use it. Similarly, karma also has to leave us in the same way. On our own, we should not give it up. On our own, we should not give it up. because if you do give it up, you will end up in serious difficulties later. So, and in that way, anything you can give up, chanting the holy name also, if you give it up, it is bad. And as is mentioned before, that you will start saying that old age, if you want to do it, you will find that the body is giving trouble. You can't do it anymore. You can't sit down anymore. Krishna is saying, that is tamasam. That is tamasam. He says like that. And in order to indicate to us, Krishna says, if you have followed this process, which one? This tamasa sannyasam. If you have taken that, what will happen to you? That is the next verse. See that? How Krishna takes us through this karma in a fine way. We'll read that verse and then we'll stop. Verse 8.
Dukkham ityeva yat karmam.
Dukkham ityeva yat karmam.
Kaya klesha bhayatya jed. Sakritva rajasam tyagam. Naivatyaga bhalam labhed. Dukkham ityeva yat karmam. Kaya klesha bhayatya jed. Sakritva rajasam tyagam. Naivatyaga bhalam labhed. Look at that. Dukkham ityeva yat karmam. Kaya klesha bhayatya jed. Sakritva rajasam tyagam. Naiva tyaga bhalam labhed. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mood of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. You see, in tamasam and rajasam, if you give up karmam, what will happen? You won't get the benefit of renunciation. It is only in sattvagunam it will develop into profit. It will give you some benefit. If the renunciation is in the sattvagunam. In rajogunam and tamogunam, if you give up anything, it will not give you any benefit. That's another important thing. The rest we will see next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.